And there you guys were in class trying to list all the Gilligan's Island episodes without even a hint of irony.
What in the hell are you talking about, girl?
You weren't thinking about it, were you?
Gilligan's Island?
It's what's called a male pornographic fantasy.
Oh, my.
Think about it. You're basically alone on a deserted island with two readily available women. One, a seductive sex goddess type. The other, a healthy girl next door type with a nice butt. So guys have it all. The Madonna and the whore. And women get nothing. We get a geek, an overweight middle-aged guy, some nerdy scientific type. I mean, the professor is sexy.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madam, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things they should do. Say, you know what? You're lovely. You know what? You're lovely. But oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. Shore. Hold you in my arms.
You're listening to Nowhere Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Subway.
I already ate.
Yeah, well, I went to high school with a guy who worked there, so we got extra meatball.
Great, I gotta run. See you later.
Hey, can you just stick around? I kinda had a rough day.
Bye.
When are you getting back?
Never.
Terry, wait!
Wait! Hold on a second, babe.
Yeah.
You're not going for good, are you, honey?
You're going nowhere, Happy, and you're taking me with you. All you ever talk about is being a pro hockey player, but there's a problem. You're not any good.
I am good. You know what? You're a lousy kindergarten teacher. I've seen those finger paintings you bring home, and they suck.
I'm sorry, babe. I didn't mean that. I think they're excellent finger paintings.
Please, don't go.
I am not spending the rest of my life with a loser. Gone.
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone.
I'm sorry, babe. I didn't mean that either. I just yell sometimes because I get so scared. Scared of being a nobody. Why don't you just come back upstairs, honey? I'll give you the old smoochy smooch kissy wissy. Hmm? You know Happy's going to make everything okay. I wanna kiss you all over and over and again.
I wanna kiss you all over.
Dun, dun, dun. Till the night closes in.
Till the night closes in.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know. So maybe a beer bus later on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Guess we'll see you around.
All right, check you later.
Bye.
Wait, man, why are you always such a dork, man? What are you talking about?
Check you later. Check you later.
Hey, man, get off my case.
Oh, man.
When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle. Especially when you do the compliment. In my arms, I won't dance. So if I hold you in my arms, I won't dance.
How's it going, man?
Hey. Pretty good. How's it going with you?
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
All right, everybody! Woohoo!
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, yeah! Hey, everybody! It is I, the J-Strom! And it's time for Nowhere Mulberry. Welcome to the show, everyone! I am Zedestrom. How do you say film, television, and pop culture? I guess you just say it like that, huh?
Yeah.
We have here Steven, the pop culture zealot. How's it going, Steven?
Hey, it's going great.
Fantastic. And we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How's it going, Bill?
Excellent.
Greetings and salutations, as they say. Guys, it's great to be back to the Nowhere Mulberry store. We just opened it up, you know, had the key under the mat, and we're open for business. We're selling Grenana's Mulberry Preserves.
That stuff sucks.
It's delicious. Except
it's terrible.
Sometimes, Bill, you get a bouillon cube in the bottom of it.
Yeah, what's with that?
It's pretty nasty, but delicious until you get the bouillon cube. But, hey, guys... Steven, it's good to see you again.
Good to be
Bill,
seeing
you.
Yeah.
And, you know, last Friday I had all the intentions of doing a show. I was working on the show. The intro, I made it last Friday. And all of a sudden, gradually, it was like...
All of a sudden, gradually.
My body's energy started depleting. I just was... and it was allergy related. And it was driving me friggin' bonkers, Bill. I didn't have the motivation to be creative. So I was like, Bill, we got to bail, man.
We've all been there.
Can't do the show. But also, you know, since I got this new computer, there's this weird laggy sound that was driving me nuts, Bill. I think that's all I talked about for a week. Like, Bill, I can't get rid of the sound. It's crazy. I don't know how to describe it, but it's driving me crazy. I hear it everywhere. It was like latency. It was a latency kind of sound, like watching a YouTube clip or something, and I would open another window, and it would lag for a second. The sound would drag, and I was like, what the hell? Why is it doing that?
It would slow down. It would what was that? The clip you played me on YouTube that was similar. It almost sounds like it's run out of processing power or RAM.
Right, and I was like, that's impossible, because my old computer... Which was, what was it, like some single core PC?
Yeah, it was a single core Pentium.
Yeah, I could play music and browse and I wouldn't have a problem. So why would this new 12 gigabytes of memory have this problem?
12 gigabytes and a Core i7 Sandy Bridge processor,
yeah,
which is top of the line.
It's not supposed to happen, Bill. Just not supposed to. So it was driving me crazy. And, you know, you search in Google for the problem you're having, but... You know, you don't ask it just right. You're not getting the answers you want. But somehow, finally, I read the right thing and said, do you have McAfee? Because if you do, it's the firewall. It's a thing called NetGuard. It causes your CPU to spike and slow down, and it really messes up your computer. And try that. And, you know, they answered somebody else's problem like a year ago or something, but I happened to see it. And I went and I turned it off, and I was like, it's gone! I was, like, so happy. I was like, effing McAfee. Bastards.
I hate McAfee. Yeah. It's some of the worst bloatware.
Yeah, it's bloated. That's the problem.
It just, ugh.
It's fine to protect the computer, but don't bloat the shit. It should be, like, the least amount of processing power as possible, I think.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm using an antivirus software on my computers, I do ESET or Kaspersky.
Kaspersky.
Those are the two. Those are the goodies.
Nice. Good stuff. I used to use AVG on my old computer.
AVG was good until they started charging people for it.
Yeah.
But eventually, you have to do that.
Well, don't they have... They have a free version, I believe.
They do, but it's pretty
minimal.
Limited.
Yeah.
It's bare bones. But that's all I need, right? You know, just don't click any crazy links. You know, be careful on...
don't go hitting the dirty websites.
Yeah, be careful on porn sites. Also, you know, anything like, hey, I won some money? Let me click on this.
Well, free porn sites. Like, the legitimate ones you don't got to worry about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But also, but also, like, when you get that email, this has happened to me several times where someone I know has gotten an email where it says nothing. It's just a link. And I'm like, oh, your email got jacked. Don't click on that. Like, if, say, it could be anybody. Your grandma sends you an email. There's nothing in the subject line, and you open it up, it's just a link. It's like, oh, I wonder what my grandma
said. But isn't that who normally sends the email? Someone who's completely clueless.
Yeah, I had to tell my
dad. No idea how to use a computer.
For a while, my dad would send an email with one letter. I don't even remember. It wasn't even like his initial. It was like the letter H, and that's all it ever said. And I'm like, I know you're doing this to, like, save time, Dad, but I think it's spam. I'm not going to open your email. I'm not going to look. And I also had to tell my dad, like, he would send me emails of articles and stuff I found, that he found that he wanted me to read, and go, Dad, this is what Facebook's for.
Yeah.
Put that on
share
your Facebook
it with other
wall,
people.
And then I see it.
Because I don't care.
No, it's not that. I will see it, but if it's on Facebook, Bill, I can click the link while I'm on Facebook.
Oh,
I don't have to go into my Yahoo and see, like, 15 emails from my dad when he can just post it on Facebook. You see what I mean?
Yeah, my dad always sends me stuff that I just ignore. Did you read that article? Yeah, it was terrific.
All right, what I like is, did you read that scary article about certain so-and-so medical? Blah, blah, blah? I go, oh, yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't believe that happened.
Hot dogs can kill you. Oh, my God. Now, Bill, we have some voicemail to play here, but first I wanted to ask you about the Gears of War 3. Have you finished it?
No.
How is it?
It's...
I mean, is it Gears of War 3?
It's more Gears of War.
More Gears of War.
Yeah, they've expanded the characters. It's much better written. Karen Travis, who actually wrote the books... they had script the game, and it flows much better. But honestly, it's that same thing. They may add new enemies, new ways that the enemies emerge from the ground. Now they can pop up through these stalks that come rumbling out of the ground, and they just start pouring out of it unless you shoot the pods on the stalks. And there's more enemies
pods and
now.
Stalks.
There's
good times.
You know, there's the standard grubs from the first one, and then you got grubs and lambent.
Okay,
you remember
wait.
The lambent, the ones
pods,
that explode.
Stalks, grubs.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And also, there's also now another form of lambent. I don't want to spoil it for anyone that wants to play the game, but the story gets kind of interesting, and it took me until about the end of Act 3 to really get grabbed by it.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, but honestly, it's just more Gears of War. It's more take cover, shoot, take cover, shoot, take cover, shoot.
Yeah, you know, I had fun playing the first two with you. I think the second one, it had an emotional moment with
Dom.
Marcus's
yeah, Dom and Maria.
Buddy. Yeah, Dom and Maria. I love that singing duo. But the ending, when it happens, they're like, oh, okay, it's over. Okay.
Was that the one with the big lambent creature?
Yeah, you, like, ride on it or something?
No,
or?
We ride in a helicopter around it.
Oh, and you chase it or something.
Yeah.
It just seemed kind of, it kind of ended. But it's funny, the first one and the second one both had those levels where we couldn't get past. Like, you know how they have those moments where we split up, one goes one way, one goes the other? And either I would die and we'd start over, or then you would die and we'd start over. And we kept going back and forth because we both have to live to get to a certain point. And we'd be like, God, I'm so sorry. I died. You, like, start getting self-conscious because you keep having to play.
I don't want to say that it's easier because in a way it's not. But they've added a new feature where there's more. It's four-player co-op now. So you always have four players on your team. And you're always teamed with someone else.
Oh, so you have basically a bot if no one else is playing?
Yeah, there's normally, it changes up, but now there's two women. That Anya that was normally all dressed up in the, she would talk to you through Jack the robot, is now one of the Gears.
Okay.
And there's another woman. I can't remember her name, but...
My favorite part in Gears of War is whenever the action stops and you put your finger to
your ears, yep.
And you're
it's still in this one, not as much.
It's like, you know, people, we have Bluetooth now, and you don't have to push your finger to your ear to talk. You'd think in these futuristic societies, you wouldn't have to do that in your shitty headset.
Well, what I was going to say was it's not that it's easier, but now that there's a bot, they can heal you when you go down. Instead of just dying, unless you get tagged by like one of those bow things that explode,
yeah,
or a headshot or something, you have a chance for your co-op bot to heal you. So you don't actually die nearly as much in this one.
Oh, cool.
But you know, it's a gorgeous game, but it's the story's better. I haven't finished it. I'm only a little more than halfway through, but it's more of the same, honestly.
Well, the best part about the games is when one of you falls down, like either me or you, and you hear, ah, and you go, you have to yell like your name, like, Bill!
Medic!
And you have, save me! Oh, can't move! Good stuff like that.
Yeah, it's, I would like to play it with other people, play through the co-op. I always go first to the hardest that's available, the hardcore, and then once you finish any level, you can go to the insane, but the hardcore, I think, is normally the best way to play it.
Hardcore.
It's so douchey.
Do they have any of those little dwarf goblin things that jump on you and explode? Wretches? Is that what they
are? Yeah, wretches show up. Wretches, oh, and then you remember tickers?
Steven,
those little, buggy things?
I think in the first game, Steven, when me and Bill were playing this, there are these little... they run up and they blow up when they get close to you. The easiest way to get rid of them, because they hop around, you can't shoot them, is to just butt them with your rifle, like right timing. Just go, boosh, knock them away.
And then, remember, on the train, those are Lambent wrenches, so they exploded, so you have to butt them and then jump backwards.
Right, and I kept dying on this part where I was losing my mind. I was like, mother effing God, boop, boop, boop. And I could just picture Bill on the other side like, okay, this guy is losing it here. I'm going to go ahead and turn down my little my headset here. Did you feel that way, Bill? I was losing my mind?
No, I was losing my mind too. We were, well,
never.
You would die, I would die. It was, we just weren't in the zone. And I remember we took a break, came back to it the next day and ran right through it on the first try.
Yeah, it just sucks that I don't own the game yet, but...
You will eventually. I just don't think it's ready yet to, you know, it's not that important.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Maybe once the price drops down, then we can play through it.
You know, I'm more excited right now to play the Battlefield beta that just hit Xbox.
Yeah, I got an email back on the 27th about that. It's supposed to be the 27th through... I don't know. I think the 2nd of October? I think it's this... Or maybe it's already over. I don't have any idea, but...
I think we... Remember the first Battlefield Bad Company, when it was just the demo of the Gold Rush?
Oh my god, how many times did we play that?
We played the shit out of that, and it was so much fun. I can't wait to play this. All right, Bill, we have some voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into this. What do you say, Steven?
Let's do it.
I'm going to let you guys pick, and it'll make these people feel bad. We can either listen to Sean, Rick, or Steve Fraidnaught Anderson first. Which should we do?
Let's do Rick first. I've been concerned about him.
Mr. Anderson! Okay, we'll do Rick. Whenever I see Steve Anderson, I just want to say that. But, all right, our first voicemail will be Rick. Hey, Rick, let's check out what he's doing.
Hey, guys, it's Rick again. Woo! He's back! Who would have thought? So I'm like a bit behind because I haven't had the internet lately. Well, not a proper internet, just on my phone, like I've been in between houses and whatnot. Anyway, boring story. Cool story, bro. So I'm a bit behind. Which is annoying because you get into the groove of listening to podcasts and then you're like, oh, no internet, I'm just so out of it. I feel like the world's passing me by, and I'm just stationary looking at everything like a moving painting, or some people call it real life.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not even drunk. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So, this voicemail's kind of special. Now, if you can figure out why this voicemail is special, then, you know, you're
sober.
You're amazing, okay? I'm going to leave this as a challenge to you guys. You have to figure out what is weird about this voicemail, and he'd be like, what is going on about? He's lost his mind. But one day, maybe in the very near future, you will understand what I'm talking about, and you'll be like, God damn, Rick, that's a tricky trick. Love your work, guys, and I will talk to you later. Man, I'm really high, and I haven't been smoking anything.
I get
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's just this chilly air. It's kind of getting to my brain a bit.
All right, Rick, we get it. This is like so many hints. So he's on an airplane? Is that what he's trying to tell us?
You can hear the engines or the engine in the background.
Because he, remember last time he was on, was it a four-wheeler?
Yes.
He was quad-wheeling. And he's also been on a forklift, but now he's on an airplane? Is that what it is?
Wow. Next he'll be in his car.
He's going to be in a
helicopter. Or on a train.
Just don't ever be in a helicopter on this show. You know what happens. All right, Rick?
The helicopters are dangerous around Steven.
Yeah,
well, I won't have to report on your
class. He has this weird ESP to make them crash, apparently.
Steven, why are you staring so intently? He's making it crash!
He just really hates helicopters.
It's like the dad in Firestarter.
Starts bleeding.
All right, guys, let's check out Sean's voicemail. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, it's Sean in Los Angeles. Last week's show was great. Loved having you guys back. There was one point where Foggy played a drop of Palpatine saying, do it. That just made me drop my food that I had in my hand. But it's okay, it was worth it, because that part was hilarious. Thank you guys also for the concern. Hopefully I sound a little better this week. Still a little under the weather, but this cold hasn't been too bad. It's kind of been long-lasting, but pretty mild. I did get sick when I was at home. Yeah, I was at the zoo, and I got bit by this Sumatran rat monkey.
Oh,
and,
no.
Been feeling under the weather ever since. So hopefully I'll get better. So yeah. Anyway, I was listening to some old-school episodes and the Best of Nim show again, Nimbo, as Jason and Adam call it, and I remember listening to the part where you guys played the trailer to War Horse and like how you guys do that a lot before. And I really love those skits that you guys did where you would play your version of the trailer. So do more of it in the future, please.
Oh, you know it.
I feel like I've left that. I said that in a previous voicemail about the trailers. I don't know. Maybe this rat monkey sickness is taking over my brain. Anyway, I guess I should go rest. I'm going to before I go rest, I'm going to see that John Carpenter 3 movie triple feature tomorrow in Santa Monica. It's going to have The Thing, cool. In the Mouth of Madness, and Prince of Darkness. And Carpenter's going to be there to intro all three movies, so that should be pretty fun. So I got to get that before then. Anyway, like I said, great show last week. Keep up the work. Good work, and hopefully you guys have a show tonight so I can listen to it on Tuesday. All right, take care. Love you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Sean. I hope you get better. But I'm pretty sure after you get bit by a rat monkey, you're pretty much screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, you get kind of drippy, and then
they gotta chop
something
your arm
bad happens.
Chop off whatever part got bit.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember the word they say, like, Singaya or something like that.
Yeah, Sinjaya.
Yeah, and they keep noticing something different, and then they chop it off. That's a great opening to a movie, by the way. And great animation of the rat monkey. But thank you, Sean.
Yeah, and Sean can rest during Prince of Darkness, so it's not going to miss anything.
When I heard the voicemail, I was thinking, I've never seen Prince of Darkness.
I had to watch that so many times. My sister loved that movie.
I'm a fan of John Carpenter's movies, you know, from that time, and I never saw that.
I really, really, really like In the Mouth of Madness. It's probably my second or third favorite John Carpenter movie.
You know, The Thing at the time when I saw it as a kid, I wasn't a fan of it because it creeped the shit out of me. It just was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Then later on, you know, when you see the legs come out of the head and it's walking,
it's upside
down. As you're older, when you see it, it's like, dude, that's badass. The effects in this movie are incredible. You just, get the feeling that the makeup people just had so much fun making it, even though it's really gruesome. The worst part is when he's got the paddles and they sink into the chest. Oh, that shit is just
all right. You
crazy.
Can stop.
So, are you guys interested in seeing
the
Thing
remake?
Yeah, it's actually a prequel, I believe. It's the.
I think they finally dropped that bullshit line.
Oh, okay, because...
No, I think it's just a standard remake with the Kurt Russell recast as a girl.
No. What I heard is that it's the Swedish people, I believe that's what they were, either Norwegian or Swedish or something, who were in the other base. Remember at the beginning of Kurt Russell's, they show up in the helicopter and they're trying to blow up the dog with grenades?
Yeah, you're right, the Norwegian base.
This is
about
those
that.
People, but of course they don't speak in that language, they speak English. But I'm sure. All
right, it says taking place 3 days before the events of the John Carpenter film.
Right. You know what I heard? I read it on IO9 a long time ago, but actually, if you know whatever language you're speaking, please tell, is it Norwegian, Bill, or Swedish? I don't know.
Where? What?
People on the other...
Oh, Norwegian.
Okay, Norwegian. Like, if you know Norwegian, they're telling them, like, it's not what it seems. It's dangerous. Stay away. And they're like, man, those people are trying to kill that dog. But they're, like, trying to warn them, but... You know, they're dumb Americans. What are they going to listen?
Stupid American.
All right, we have another voicemail. This one from Steve Fraynon Anderson. Bill, go ahead and do the Agent Smith for me.
Mr. Anderson.
Hey, happy 6th anniversary, Nim. You guys have always put out such a great show. It's one of the first podcasts I ever listened to, and it's still one of my absolute favorites. I love how you guys have just this great, like, casual camaraderie talking about stuff, but you still manage to put on a relatively professional show. I listened to your clip show, which was great, great stuff. Lots of funny memories in there, stuff I'd forgotten. I liked the compilation of totally awkward Laura introductions. And I was thinking the other day about funny moments in the past of Nowhere and Mulberry. And one of the ones that I've always found really hilarious was a call-in by the quote-unquote mystery woman that calls in from time to time. And at one point in the call, she said, you know, something like, oh, Emma says hi, and Jason said, oh, that's nice. Wait a minute, why do you have my daughter? Who is this? No, my daughter's been kidnapped. Or something to that effect. It was hilarious, and I've tried to look for it in the past. I think it might have been around episode 200. Great stuff, guys. I love it. I'll keep listening. Who knows, probably forever, as long as you keep doing it. So, keep up the good work, guys, and... happy anniversary. Oh, and I think I totally forgot to mention the Steve Anderson. So, thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, okay.
Who's
this talking? Why didn't he introduce...
I'm so confused. It's in reverse, like Memento.
He got me started on the clip show by his... He sent me his notes. He never got to do it, but I know I've said this before, I believe... But he wrote down things from certain shows that he was going to put into a clip show, but he never had time to. And that really helped when I started the clip show. I was like, okay, I'll go and listen to this. And I was like, oh, this is pretty funny, man. This stuff is gold. And then that got me listening to the old shows. You know, we've got a lot of shows, and it was really hard to listen to old things. And
especially when they're like 4 hours apiece.
The hardest part, Bill, was going through it at the end and going, okay, I don't need this. I'm going to go ahead and cut this out. And it's just like, oh, ouch, I can't do it. But I did. Bill, are you ready to talk a couple of movies?
Sure.
All right,
guys. Are you?
Yes, sir. Let's
all
do
right.
Entertainment. Hey, guys. Now, Bill, there's movies that are out right now, but I want to talk about a movie that I actually watched on Xbox Live in the Zune store.
The Zune store?
Yes. And it is called people are going to groan when they hear what
I know.
Considering our last episode of the show. It's called The People versus George Lucas. And it's all about George Lucas and the... I mean, he created Star Wars, and we all love Star Wars. I mean, it's affected all of our lives, whether we like it or not. We were the right age when it hit us. There are kids now being... You know, my daughter, she's into Star Wars and stuff. And kind of this love-hate relationship that develops over time, Bill, right? I mean, we've talked about it enough on the show that it is love-hate.
Yep. It absolutely
You love him for the original creation, and then you start to hate him for tinkering and not making the original version available for you.
Just whoring it in general.
Yeah, and you start, you know, there's a whole debate. Like, does he have the right to change these things? Sure he does. Does he have a right to deny us the original because that's the one we love? I don't know. He's doing it anyway. And it's just... That's kind of like a bunch of people talking about it and bitching about it and kind of showing glimpses of how many Star Wars videos there are on YouTube and stuff, Bill.
I had no idea, and so many of them are awful.
Yeah, just
like,
so
who
many
are
people.
These people that they go, you know what, this is really good work. I'm going to put this out for everyone to see.
The one I remember the most was Troops, the one that was like cops but with stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was actually funny.
Yeah, I remember that from way back in the day as being funny, and a lot of people tried their little Star Wars spoofs and stuff.
Do you remember for a while there was a girl doing one called Pink Six?
No, Pink Five.
Pink Five.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah, those were hit and miss.
Yeah,
but I would watch them every time they came up.
Yeah, they had amusing bits. They had some funny stuff. The main thing I remember being funny about those is how horrible the Yoda puppet was. And I just remember they did this gag where Obi-Wan would show up as, you know, he's the ghost, the blue glowy ghost. He would always show up when she's changing and being half naked. And like, hey! And he's like, oh, sorry. He'd always turn around. And then he'd always sneak a peek. Just bits like that. But, yeah, the Pink Five series. That's the good side of it, right, Bill?
Yeah. I remember there's plenty of bad.
A while back, Bill, I don't remember what this was, but these people financed their own, like, Star Wars movie they did. And they were all, like, you know, kind of out-of-shape actors. And
that's an understatement.
There was, like, a Sith girl and a Jedi girl, and they had two lightsabers each. And they'd have these lightsaber duels that were way too slow as they'd spin around. You know, like, they're going moving just a little too slow as they're fighting.
Looked like a practice routine.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's do that for real. Okay. No, we got it. Print.
Let's film this in half speed.
We'll speed it up. But there's stuff
we'll
like
do
that.
It in 15 frames.
I mean, they love Star Wars. We love Star Wars, and the movie.
We don't necessarily love the people that love Star Wars, though. You
know, one thing that I got from the movie, because it talks about people like complaining about different things, and as I was watching, I was like, God, please don't let me sound like this when I'm talking about it. Do I sound like
I've started to kind of reconsider the way I talk about it, and to just sum it up as thank you, George Lucas. Yeah. And thank you, George Lucas.
Oh, Bill. Sorry. It's love, hate, right?
But it's just it could all be so simple. For me, at least, as a fan of Star Wars, if he just gave me the original trilogy, then he can do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Right. I'm glad it exists.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what to say. I don't want to rehash all of it. But one thing, watching it, I thought it was therapeutic in a way. You know, it's a lot. Some people say exactly what you think, and some people you're like, okay, they're going way too far.
Yeah, they're nuts.
There was one thing where it started listing the differences, and I never knew this, and I never needed to know. The part where it shows Star Wars and then sinks down, you know, dun!
Yeah, it's faster now.
The timing has changed on it. I never knew that. But now that I know, I'm like, oh, he changed that? Why?
Well, if you looked at the listing of all the changes, your brain would melt out your ears.
There were some things that I never noticed that kind of were like, whoa, I never noticed that. Like, in the first version, theatrical version of Star Wars, when people were getting shot and stuff with blasters, smoke and shit.
Yeah, smoke and burn marks that he took out.
He took all that out now where they, you know, they get shot and they fall down. But if you go watch if you can find it anywhere, the theatrical version of the original Star Wars, before it was The New Hope, it had squibs in it. And that's awesome, dude. They didn't need to take that.
It was much more hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore, yo. But it's just like, things change over time, and, you know, we're never going to get that version. You know, thank God you have the Laserdisc, Bill.
Well, also, thank God there's people out there like Adewan that did Star Wars Revisited, now working on Empire Revisited.
Did you think that was cool?
That want to see their own special edition.
Did you think that was cool that Adewan was in it?
I loved that. I thought he's kind of he likes to stay behind the scenes. You know, he's been kind of mysterious for the longest time. People were like, who the hell is this guy? His work is so good. He must be like someone in Hollywood and all that. And he just turns out he's just some bloke from the UK who happened to love Star Wars and wanted to do a new version.
Yeah, I mean, he it looks like he put a lot of time into it, too.
He did. And what's great is he's hooked up. He's really kind of hit a nerve of Star Wars fans after they saw Star Wars Revisited, where they were just like, wow, this is incredible. This is what we've always wanted. This is what the special edition should have been back in 1997.
Star Killian, you're another bad motivator. Look.
So they've hooked up with him online, and now they've actually – he's got people in Hollywood that are actually shooting new scenes for Empire Strikes Back.
Are you serious?
Because there were scenes they couldn't use that they shot during the Hoth stuff.
Right, right.
They actually – he had guys in Hollywood go back and reshoot those scenes.
Is it almost like it's – it makes it less when it's a fan doing it, it's kind of neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it there's almost more of like this – they're one of us and that they care as much as us. And the greatest thing is he takes suggestions from fans. Like on the original trilogy forum or fan edit forum, he'll list what he plans to change or, you know, and then he says, give me some other stuff here. Let me know what you want. If he also says, like, if you do 3D modeling or anything like that and you want to help out, if you want to contribute to this new revisited version, just let me know and we'll see what we can do.
That's pretty crazy. I want to see that version of his Star Wars.
Yeah, you'll have it this week.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks a lot. I can't wait to check that out.
No problem. But I love it. I can't recommend it enough. It came out in like 2008, and I can't believe I haven't sent it to you since then. But it's just that when I watch Star Wars, that's the version I watch.
Good times, Chewie. Cool. Now,
now there's a version I want with just Peter Mayhew's voice.
If people
the actual dialogue.
Yeah, it's
that old wizard's mad.
Yeah, you just hear muffling under the mask. Now, it's called The People versus George Lucas documentary. It's really check it out. My favorite part is probably when it has before and after The Phantom Menace came out.
Mm.
That's my favorite
part. Well, I love that they used the stuff from Spaced.
Oh, yeah, that was great when he's talking about bloody Jaja. I always thought it was funny because Simon Pegg sounds like he's saying Jaja. Jaja.
I also loved the part where it really got into who George Lucas was as an artist early on.
Right.
How, you know, he wanted to make these films. And talking to Francis Ford Coppola or using those clips from an interview about him, you can almost see the hurt in Coppola's eyes that Lucas never got to make the films he's wanted to make. Because this Star Wars has just swallowed him up entirely.
Look, your worshipfulness, let's get one thing straight.
Right. There was this, whatever he was going to do, Star Wars took over his life.
Yeah.
And for good or bad, I don't know.
But he was such, I think there's the problem in that he's such a control freak that he wouldn't let other people help him as much. So he decided, well, I mean, I'd become a businessman now, become what I never wanted to be.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like him either.
So that's it, guys. Star Wars. Should we end our Star Wars talk, Bill? Or,
For a while, I think we should go on Star Wars sabbatical.
Yeah, and Star Wars
at least
sabbatical.
We need to take a break because, you know, for another 2 months, 2-3 months, and then we'll come right back at it strong.
What are you doing?
Now, is there any movies out now, Bill, you want to check out, or you've seen any recent flicks? Anything going on there?
You know, I really haven't. I've been so busy, and there's just nothing appealing to me. I know that that Footloose remake is coming out here in a week, or maybe it's out this weekend. I don't know. And Dolphin Tale just looks so charming.
You know, my daughter really wants to see Dolphin Tale, but I can just,
really,
yeah, I can picture her crying through that whole thing.
Hell, I think I was close to her age when I saw Free Willy. No, I had to be double her age when it came out.
Stupid director's cut. I always remember that from The Simpsons where the whale lands on the kid.
Honestly can't think of anything. I keep seeing commercials for that god-awful-looking Anna Faris film, What's Your Number? Some sex comedy doing.
What's the robot one called with the Hugh Jackman?
Real Steel.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, I could take Emma to go see that. Robots fight each other. That's going to be fun.
Oh, she'd love that.
That's cool.
I think the one that I want to do really, really, really well, but it's a limited release, and then in 2 more months it'll be on Blu-ray, and that's Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Right.
I loved that movie.
Oh, Bill, I was so pissed off that was on HDNet Movies.
I told you to mark it.
No, I know. And when I looked, it was like 30 minutes left. And I was like, please come on again later, please. And it didn't. I was so friggin' pissed.
I told you.
Damn it!
It's one of those movies that... It's one of the movies that we always wanted to see. Like, it always... The guy just does a perfect... backslap or whatever, you know, backhanded slap to the horror genre. You know, you got these co-eds, they're snotty and you know, kind of stupid, and then they're going to go to the country.
All right.
For a vacation, and then they see these two hillbillies that kind of give them a strange look, and they're like, "Oh no." Automatically the hillbillies are bad guys, but
yeah.
They're really just two really nice lifelong friends that bought a cabin that just happens to look like the one from The Evil Dead. And they're gonna fix it up, and it's gonna become their vacation home.
Oh, I wanted to see.
And it's just
so bad.
It's this wonderful miscommunication, misunderstanding, and it's basically an hour and a half of brilliance. I was cracking up, and Tyler Labine, I don't know how to say his name, who I normally despise, I hated him in Reaper. He drove me crazy. I love him in this. I've gone complete and total 180 on my attitude towards him, because he's charming and funny. It works perfectly, and Alan Tudyk is also fantastic.
I think the main thing is, like, he gets cast a lot as that annoying kind of character. Like,
yeah,
in Reaper,
I think you're right.
In Reaper, and
he was great
I
in.
Like
I'm
a fan of him.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes too.
That's right. He had a poor guy. Kind of felt bad for that guy.
Yeah, but there's nothing that I want to rush out and see. I still want to see Contagion. I still want to see Drive.
Because I love Joe-Go-Levitt so much, I want to see 50-50, the cancer comedy.
Yeah, I'll see a cancer comedy.
I'll check that out. And it's got the cute girl from the Airplane movie. God, Jason.
Oh, Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick from The Air Up There or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm. The movie with Kevin Bacon teaching basketball in Africa.
No. Airplane Airplane Man. Guy who rides on airplanes movie. Up in the air. Yeah! Ding, 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 ding. Yes! That's it, man.
Man, but nothing beats The Air Up There. I love that movie.
All right, check you later.
So charming.
The Air Up There. Yes. Good stuff, Bill. Guys, what do you say we check out what's on our TiVo? Let's do it!
All right, guys, we have what's on our TiVos. You know,
are you from Liverpool all of a sudden?
Yes, mate.
Wait, now you're from Liverpool, Australia?
I got nothing.
Hold it down, man. Choose
one. We have a couple of new shows we're going to talk about, but let's get into Hell's Kitchen. It ended. Somebody won, okay? You know, that was
does anybody really win?
Yeah, we never hear from them again. We see, my favorite part of the finale is when they showed the wall of pictures of winners. And the thing that bothered me is, like, they're not in order. Who hung these up there? Because when they hang up the new winner, he's, like, in the middle somewhere. And
well, he hangs his own picture.
He's like, you.
Hey, he was next to Robot Dave.
Yeah, it's like, you should be over to the right. What's going on, dude? But the best part is when it was still Tommy and Elise there also, when Ramsey brings in their family members, and Tommy has this hot young teenage girlfriend show up.
Did they say she was teenage? I thought they were just joking around about it.
They said she was 19.
Holy shit.
And he's sitting there making out with her in the booth with Tommy's mom is right next to him on one side, girlfriend on the other. And he's macking down, and Gordon Ramsay's like, Tommy, jeez, your mom is right next to you.
I swear I thought I saw his hand up her dress.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, dear, Tommy.
Let's check this out. I thought it was funny.
Tommy, your mom, Diana, and your girlfriend, Caitlin.
Holy
Give me a kiss.
Easy, Tommy.
Easy, Tommy.
Tommy's girlfriend is really pretty. I mean, I didn't, not saying that I didn't expect it, but I didn't expect that.
Tommy's girlfriend 19, so that's the joke.
I love you so much. I love you.
Man, listen to that.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Tommy, your mum's there. God's sake.
Go ahead. I'm getting yelled at here.
What the hell?
Okay. Family, first of all, I'd like to say a big thank you, but unfortunately it's time to go.
I don't want to say goodbye.
Tommy, wrap up the homework. Paul, please.
The chef.
Elise, say goodbyes to your lovely family.
I love you. Love you. Thank you.
Chris, take it easy.
Love you, baby.
Tommy, get back over there.
Next time you see me, I'll be coming out of that door.
My head is in a totally different realm right now. I am ready to beat the out of people, kill them all, and sort the bodies out later on.
I thought that was a little crazy there. He's
dramatic.
Just saw his family, and now he's ready to kill people? Oh, my God.
Well, his families do that sometimes.
You know, what can you say about the finale and who won?
It aired?
Yeah, other than, I guess, Paul. Is that his name? The guy who won?
Yeah, Paul.
The reason I say that is because he didn't really show up till halfway in the season, personality-wise. He was just kind of back there, wasn't he?
Which he's still just kind of back there.
The way you could kind of go.
Mm-hmm. You just,
you know,
kind of
stay under the radar.
Just chill out or whatever. I mean, he picked Elise on his team. I guess that was good. And she actually helped him, which was surprising.
Yeah.
But one, you know, I just tried to find something funny here. And when they make them clean the women's dorm room and how there's like,
oh my God,
old hamburgers and shit under the bed.
Someone has an eating disorder.
Yeah, there's like food and stuff all dried underneath the beds. And they're like, what the hell, man? You guys are disgusting.
I was at Jennifer's bed. Both the beds she slept in had food underneath them.
Yeah.
Like she's taking food back to her bed and eating it. And then
it's like,
not finishing it and shoving it under the bed like it's going to disappear.
And yeah, she falls asleep while eating it and
When I was a kid, I remember doing, like, you eat something and you keep the, like, the rim of the sandwich and you just kind of slide it under your bed or something. Then your mom catches you and you're busted and you never do it again. But I guess she never got in trouble for doing that.
I mean, it's just so, it's shocking to me that a grown person does that.
And then after Paul wins, then we have the little highlight reel of Chef Ramsay making fun of Tommy and his teenage girlfriend, which I thought was pretty funny. Let's check this out.
Back in Hell's Kitchen, the losers come face to face with a major league mess.
Oh, hell no, dude. I'm going to start in the other room. Breaking down dorms is pretty gross because females are disgusting creatures.
Oh, for real, dude. Oh, my God.
What?
Whose bed was this?
Jennifer.
And whose bed was that?
Jennifer.
You guys are nasty.
Cheeseburgers and roast beef sandwiches under the bed. And, like, this is the girls we're talking about. They're the most grimy ladies.
Oh, what the f*** is that?
There's, like, a stain underneath this one.
Why don't you smell it, Tommy? Tell us what it is.
Elise, give it a taste. You have the best palate.
On the count of three, turn the handle. One. Two.
Look at that.
I cannot be any more proud of you.
There's one lady up there, I'm telling you, is the proudest mom in the world. Don't you ever forget that.
I'll never forget that.
Well done.
Thank you, Chef.
Good job.
I can't believe this, dude.
I'm so proud of you, Paul.
I'm so proud of you.
Paul won tonight because he's probably the most passionate, determined chef to ever enter Hell's Kitchen. He will make a great head chef because his enthusiasm is contagious. I'm so proud to hand him over to BLT Steak in New York City.
This is the greatest achievement I have ever reached in my entire life. I am a big deal.
Okay.
Paul, from where?
From Fort Lauderdale.
Have your drop, because your voice is very, very light.
Yeah, they're down there.
Terry, thank you for one night not having an argument with Elise.
No, right?
What happened?
Hell froze over.
Yeah, hell froze over.
Can I buy something from a lady?
Focus on you, Tommy. Don't worry about your lady.
Right.
Let her graduate from high school, then you can worry about it.
Okay. Really, man? Really?
Good job. Tommy, how was it?
I ended up going to get something for my lady.
Oh, really? How nice.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Toys R Us?
Hey, gee, I can't. It's not going to stop.
Baby Gap, how was it?
It's not going to stop, is it, till I go home?
Get out there and continue, right?
Talking
Take
to
this
you.
And run with it. Now, really go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, just stop being such a bitch.
I thought that's funny, giving her advice. Stop being a bitch.
That's really all it comes down to.
I know, like...
Honey, you are a massive, massive bitch.
Seriously, she made it hard on herself by acting so...
Well, she thought she could win by playing Survivor.
Yeah, doing that, ugh.
And how you win is exactly how Paul wins. Do what you're supposed to do, stay in the background, and then at the end, whenever there's only a couple people left, your talent shines and you win.
Yeah, I think what was funny about the final service they do, the reason I think Paul won is because he got them all together. Okay, guys, you know, we've really messed up, but now we're going to come together. And I thought it was kind of strange, and it was sad, you know, that his mom died and he wanted to do it for her mom. But I think really his mom would want him to do it for himself.
Exactly.
Because you know, he goes, we did this for my mom. And it's just like, well, your mom can't work there at BLT Steak.
She can't exactly have a steak there now. It's just so ridiculous.
He motivated, he wanted his mom to be proud of him, you know, and that was motivation. That's cool and everything. It's just the way he kind of said it at the end, like, we did this for my mom. You know, it's a, no, I did this for you, bud.
And Tommy, or no, what's his name? Paul. Paul, he's your mom now.
How did Chef Ramsay? I can do anything. I'm Gordon Ramsay. Mom. That's awesome. Now, I want to talk about Kitchen Nightmares before we take a break, Bill.
All right.
Kitchen Nightmares is back. More Gordon Ramsay. And he was at, what was this place called? Blackberries?
Blackberries. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Yeah, that's what the sign said. I paused it to read it. I was like, what does that say? Blackberries?
Sweeter juice. Wait, what the hell were they talking about?
I love when Ramsay walked in, there was like records hanging. Like vinyl records.
I thought it was a record store.
He's like, are you having a party? No, it's just a regular service. What's with all the decorations? It's like, oh, that's the way it looks.
And I love the walls, like holes in the walls behind records.
And I love that there's that big old black dude who looks like he's got a baby face, but he's got a beard trying to cover up the fact that he looks like he's seven, you know?
Yeah.
And he was Ramsey moves the record on the wall, and there's a giant punched in hole there, and he's like, "What was that? I've never seen that before."
That is a man living in denial.
Oh yeah, totally. So
it was pathetic how he would react to things.
You're like, "What? I didn't know that." You know, it's like, "Come on, dude." Now here on this part, this is the highlight of the show. Is when Ramsey, you know, he tasted the menu and it all sucked. So I'll be back tomorrow, and we're gonna really hit the ground running on this, see what we can improve. And I'm sure he did that with his hands a couple of times. Now, here's what we're going to do. So he walks in and he looks down. And he's like, "Wait, what the hell was that right there?" And he looks down. And there's a dead mouse in the little entryway. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And it's funny because how he starts to tell everybody, everyone's kind of like in a daze, like, "What? What now? A mouse?" And they're all kind of like,
"We don't have mice. We just had the extra. Wait a second. Why do you have an exterminator if you don't have mice?"
Yeah. So let's.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, we have an exterminator regularly,
and it's so funny.
For preventive maintenance.
They start to be like, "That mouse wasn't there. He brought it with him in his pocket."
That's one of them. That's one of them. Them sneaky English mice.
Let's check this out. Yeah, it's a little tit mouse that was in his cupboard or something back in England. Let's check
this out. He killed Ratatouille.
It's just 10 minutes before the doors to Blackberry's open, and Chef Ramsay is greeted by something unexpected.
Bloody hell.
That. Have you got a bin?
Yes, Chef.
The moat? Just by the front door.
Huh?
It's by the door.
Huh? No.
We just had the exterminator. You paid for the exterminator?
Sure.
Get your money back.
Okay, that's not funny.
I've got an incinerator outside. Can you take that? No? As a general manager?
That shit is funny, Ramsay.
The mouse.
The mouse?
It was in the entrance as I walked in. On the left-hand side.
A mouse? A mouse? We always
no,
have
it
the
wasn't a mouse.
Once a month of a convention. Are you serious?
No.
A mouse? At the front door,
I'm not
even in the kitchen.
No.
Guys, be careful of mice.
Can you tell me where you found that at? It was at the front door.
Like where?
Oh, well, where's the front door in your mind?
I can't believe that.
I came in the door, walked in there, saw him, bang, right there.
Right here. Do you have it on film?
Are you kidding me? What, you thought I brought it in out of my pocket?
Yeah, I think you did.
Are you dreaming? I arrived, the mouse was there.
Never here. Never. There was no mouse right here.
Right. Okay.
You guys gotta
we had the exterminator last week. They come on regular occasions.
Yes.
We have an issue with mice. That's why you have an exterminator.
We don't have an issue with mice. An exterminator comes in regular.
Let's you and I do a little
regular
investigation. Let's go. Dwayne, when's the last time you spotted a mouse in here?
I've never seen one.
You've never seen one. No. Good.
Except that one that was under the steam table that was dead a few months back.
He found a mouse in the front door.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been so embarrassed and humiliated in my life. This is ridiculous. Really ridiculous. And sad.
I've never seen a mouse. Perhaps we planted that mouse.
And you're suggesting that I brought it in.
I was like, I put it together, like, just for TV's sake, maybe.
I wish you would talk a little bit of sense.
The TV. Put your money where your mouth is, in front of your staff. I want a meeting upstairs with you and everybody now. Yes.
Pulling mice out of his pockets and stuff.
Yeah, and take some responsibility for something, man. How you gonna help us if everybody keeps...
Exactly.
It's mice infested all over this place. It can happen. It can happen.
I walked in the front door. A mouse.
That's the voice of reason.
The mouse that you planted. I know. They told me.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's a show.
It's got nothing to do with TV. Nothing to do with your business in the. I am not going to stand there and even attempt to take that crap from you. You can take your restaurant and stick it. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
You out of here. I'm out of here. Excuse me. Go. See you later. Shut it down. Let's go. It's over. It is not over.
Mama.
could you please shut up? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Please don't leave.
Yeah, no, I'm out of here.
Please don't.
Because you're exaggerating.
Can I talk to you? Just me and you?
Yep.
I take back what I said as far as you doing something like that. I don't want to defame your character, but it just was... I'm lost for words that happened.
And
it just shocked me. And I apologize.
Well, when he chooses
That's
his words, he wants to
use important
ones. That's
the most sensible thing I've heard you say since I've been here. Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, that was nice of him to apologize, wasn't it?
But he still believes he planted it.
Yeah. Well, he's a practitioner of the secret. He speaks things into being.
Can we
if he planted the mouse, then he planted the mouse.
Can we revisit what that guy said in the kitchen real quick? I just want to... What? Okay, let's see.
You gotta take some responsibility for something, man. How you gonna help us if everybody keep...
Okay, yeah, he's right. Listen to that man right there.
He's wise. Wise beyond his years.
So, of course, you know, Ramsay does what he does. He replaces the menu. They made that place look really nice because that place is a friggin' dump.
They did that big family-style table. Wow, I almost went into a southern drawl there. They went to that family-style table. It looked really nice.
It did. And the lady was such
a bitch. I still would never go there in my entire life. Never, ever.
Not a place where mice were. Where he goes, did you bring in that mice? Did I bring in the mice? Do you understand the plural and the singular of mouse, mice?
They don't understand.
It's just like interchangeable.
Why don't you look in my pocket? I better get another one.
I got another one. I can just see the, like, hey, I'll fix them. He pulls out a little rubber mouse and throws it in the corner. But the lady, she showed no appreciation for him at all. I thought she was a real bitch.
An epic bitch. You have somebody come in that your staff appreciates. They get to keep their jobs as long as the place stays open. He busts his ass to help them, remodels the dining room, gives them a new burner and oven.
They took away her
kitchen.
Walk.
And then at the end of the day, because she's a bitch, she won't even talk to him.
Right.
Because he told her, what did he tell her to get out of the kitchen because she was screwing things up?
Yeah, she just kept butting into everything and trying to take over. And she was so pissed that he took her wok away that she made her soul food in.
Yes, the wok.
She made collard greens in a wok. It made no sense.
When you said her wok away, I was like, where did she go? Wait, what?
And then when they were redoing the thing and she spent most of the time on the phone talking to her dad.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, I guess he can't leave the house or something. Are you smart enough not to go there?
Yeah.
I'm staying out of this shit.
Yeah, I was hoping whenever they do that thing at the end, they said, well, blackberries didn't last too long. You know, I was really hoping it got shut down.
Yeah, but it said that whatever her name was, you know.
She came back and thanked him.
She came around and she saw that it was doing well. It's like, you're a bitch anyway.
Yeah. I hope you fail miserably.
So basically, Fox has this rule where, like, we can never have Gordon Ramsay not on the air. We have to have a show in rotation at all times. Because MasterChef rolled right into Hell's Kitchen. Like, when the last episode of, was it like that? The last episode of MasterChef, it was like, okay, now we have Hell's Kitchen. And then, like, the same week that Hell's Kitchen goes off the air, this Friday, Kitchen Nightmares. Not that I mind. I'm a fan of his shows. But I think it's funny, like, just how, holy shit, does this guy ever stop making TV shows?
He's their staple.
Because then BBC America will have his British shows, you know, too, Bill. Like, where he travels around India or Vietnam or whatever. So... Gordon Ramsay, man, he's prolific with these TV shows.
People, you know, he wouldn't make them if people didn't watch them. So.
Yeah, I watch all of them, and I want to watch all of the F words. That's such a great show. Great series.
It is a great show.
Great stuff. Done. That's my favorite. All right, Bill, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back, guys, and we'll talk about the finale of Alphas, the season premiere of Fringe, and... Terra Nova. That's right. Oh, and, you know, we'll throw some Top Chef Just Desserts in there, too. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
I'm gone. I'm out of there.
You out of here. I'm out of here. Excuse me.
Fruit Newtons are the cookies with delicious real fruit inside.
Real apple, blueberry, strawberry,
new gray. And big, but sorry.
We have no banana today.
Scabs, starring Ronald McDonald and the Chicken McNuggets.
Ronald, nice to see you in this mess of the woods. Come on.
What are you making?
We're staring up secret sauces. For dipping.
We're ready, boss?
Let's make sauce.
Oh, well, at least I got my hair done.
I have an idea.
Whoop-de-doo, McDonald's sauces.
You can always count on them to be terrific.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
When you're playing Mountain King, music is everything. Cause if you hear this melody, it could mean victory. Grab 1,000 diamonds as you go climbing. Jump and be a winner or be a spider's dinner. Now look for the spirit. Music says you're near it. Find it with your flashlight, but don't you get uptight.
As the skull,
grab the crown. Now you hear this music sound.
Fatal bat, the music ring. You'll be the Mountain King.
Mountain King for all Atari home systems, ColecoVision, and Commodore 64. From CBS Electronics, where the excitement never ends.
Kellogg's Talking Krispies present Barney.
Why so blue, Barney?
Kids don't want colorful balloons on a rainy day.
He looks so deflated. One of our crispy cereals might help. Let's see. Marshmallow Krispies! Perfect!
Hey, bright colored marshmallows.
It's time to put light frosted cocoa.
Marshmallow.
Into your morning.
Part of this complete breakfast.
With Barney around, who needs rainbows?
Not at last.
Oh, jeez.
How about some M&M's? I did
wow. Where M&M's chocolate candies go, there's bound to be some fun, you know. It's a bright and colorful wonderland. All the world loves M&M's. Pure milk chocolate is joy for everyone.
M&M's chocolate candies. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
See you later.
Now observe Hippocampus rapionis. Common to urban areas, this species can be found on what they refer to as the street. Rappers are audibly recognized by the constant presence of a thunderous boom whack, boom boom whack. Visually, they're identified by their large shoes and Levi's jeans and jackets. But approach with caution. They're wild creatures.
Y'all don't realize how I feel. All I got to say to you is, man, just real.
Now, please pay attention. It's the latest thing, accurate to 100 feet in daylight or night.
Nice balance.
Two settings, narrow and wide beams.
Electronic sighting. Ingenious.
Obvious notion, actually. This is your star sensor. Registers up to 6 tags.
I hope it doesn't ruin the fit of my jacket.
Can't you take anything seriously?
Relax. It's only a game.
Laser tag. Available and moving at the speed of light.
That's
Yeah, it's the official tabletop version of the arcade game.
It plays the same. Think again. Mr. Arcade is here.
Galaxian, it's mine. Pac-Man.
You want to take it home?
Yeah. My own Pac-Man. Mr. Arcade, could you?
Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong? The official tabletop version.
Frogger, Donkey Kong, and Midway's Pac-Man and Galaxian. The arcade games you can take home with you from Coleco.
You're a starship captain in an asteroid field. Blast them with your lasers or put up your shields. Has a missile commander defending your city. If you're not quick enough, they'll show no pity. The invaders won't stop us from the sky they drop.
Three out of this world games from Atari, the number one video computer system with more games than any other.
Everyone's gone Atari, the number one video game.
New spaceship destroyed by Decepticon fire. Springer, the toughest of the Autobot triple changers, crash lands on planet Junkion.
Harry, Harry, Operators are standing by. Then welcome, Wing of Hell, stranger.
The Transformers.
Junkion Ricka transforms from motorcycle to robot.
And triple changer Springer transforms from car to helicopter to robot.
The Transformers.
The Transformers. Each sold separately from Hasbro.
Holy icicles!
In their daily pursuit of justice, our superhero characters do battle with the world's most evil villain. Where will the next evil villain come from? Maybe you will create them in Post Superheroes Create a Villain Contest.
Grand prize, 9 kids win a one-week trip to Hollywood. They'll have breakfast with these superheroes.
And the villain they've created.
Second prize, 1,000 win bicycles.
Millions will enter, and everyone who does gets Superheroes Puffy Stickers.
Details on specially marked boxes of Alphabet, Super Sugar Crisp, Honeycomb, and Pebble cereals. You can draw and paint your villain in the picture provided. 3 different pictures.
Superman! Wonder Woman!
Batman and Robin.
3 grand prizes per picture.
The most original villains win.
Holy Hollywood.
Post Superheroes Create a Villain Contest. Details on specially marked boxes of Alphabet, Super Sugar Crisp, Honeycomb, and Pebble cereals.
A fun factory. Let's have a Play-Doh party. Yeah.
A shooting star.
You can make all sorts of great things with a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti.
And now you can get a Play-Doh Fun Flyer free when you buy Fun Factory in specially marked packages. It's lots of fun and little enough to take with you wherever you go while supplies last. The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here. From Kenner.
Happy birthday, Grandpa.
Now I know you, Grandpa. Don't you touch these crescents. Keep your hands off.
Yes, my sweet Pillsbury crescents. Nothing makes a meal more special than Pillsbury crescent rolls.
Oh, Papa Fresh Dough.
Grandpa. Pillsbury crescent rolls.
It's my birthday.
Mama Toys R Us kid.
There's a million Toys R Us that I can play with.
Jeffrey, guess what we want?
You want Rub-A-Dub Doggy. He's making a real big splash at Toys R Us for just $9.97 from iDeal. The famous chipmunks. Wow, only $8.87 each. Just $4.97 each for iDeal's RoboForce. And just $11.97 for their RoboCruiser.
More games, more toys. Oh, boy. I want to be a Toys R Us.
Hate me because I'm beautiful. My hair used to be a joke. Dry, split ends. Then I discovered Pantene. Pantene has this pro-vitamin formula that actually strengthens your hair from inside. It's incredible. Even with everything I put my hair through, it looks so healthy, strong, shiny. Listen, it won't happen overnight. But it will happen.
Have me some fun.
All right, check you later.
Check you later, dude.
Check you later, man.
Hey, Bill. What's up?
Hey. Hey.
Let's talk about some Top Chef. All right.
Okay.
Just when I started to like the one girl on the water slide park, she got eliminated.
One girl on the water slide park.
Remember, she did the what do you call those kind of cakes with the powdered sugar on them?
Oh yeah. I don't know.
What do you call those? You know, you deep fry them, the dough, and you
funnel
pull them out.
Cake.
Yeah, funnel cakes. She did funnel cakes.
Oh, funnel cakes.
And she should have waited.
I was thinking of the wrong person.
She should have made them wait and made them fresh when the judges walked up. But instead, she had them waiting, and then they were all just kind of
gooey.
Dry. Yeah, you got to eat those fast.
Also, the
hot
batter was a little too sticky because did you see how haphazard the funnel cakes were?
Yeah. You're
supposed to kind of like layer it on top of, you know, almost like a pancake batter, and it was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, they shouldn't have Yeah, just don't work with deep frying things, I think.
Especially outside on a hot day.
Yeah. So this is one of those episodes this week's where they do some kind of crazy thing where they have to make a dish, and it's a dessert. This is more of like a regular Top Chef thing because it's all sorts of different kinds of food, Bill, that they got to make a dessert with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, it's not that it's fair or not fair. It's just you have to be creative with what they give you. You know, it doesn't necessarily maybe have to taste good, or I guess it doesn't. It shouldn't taste bad, but
yeah,
just do something competent with what you have. You know,
don't it shouldn't be repulsive.
Yeah, don't outright suck. And they had a special guest on this episode, Bill.
Oh, yeah, that D-bag from the Beastie Boys, right?
Yeah, let's go ahead and check this out. No, that I don't think that's his name, though. It's is it Ad-Rock?
You're thinking of
D-bag. Mike D? Where's MCA? I don't know. Let's go ahead and check this out.
We've done confections, ice cream.
Ice sculpting's cake. Next.
Chocolate.
Ice sculpting.
Oh, God, noise.
Oh, yeah, this is the very beginning where they... This is where they show the cattiness or whatever, you know, where they're all talking about, I don't know, ice sculpting with a chainsaw, and don't get catsy around there because she's a klutz, and she gets all mad about it. Like, they're
yeah, she's strange.
She is strange, and she's like... They don't like me. So
the black guy's really catty, though, also.
Yeah.
They would
super
not have
catty.
Used chainsaws.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Don't give Kathy a chainsaw. I'm sorry. No, don't give Kathy a chainsaw. Mm-mm. I would be like, I fear for my safety right now.
You don't know.
Burger's not really good.
She just poked fun at me out there. She doesn't like me.
Really nice.
I don't want to be poked fun at. At the end of the day, you know, you can't knock someone for being successful. You think you're better than me? You think you're so gangster? You would. Girl, watch me.
Cassie's a spaz, but I think that's what makes her so good. Being so young is what contributes to her being so creative. Like, she hasn't really been jaded like some of us.
Chefs, for your next challenge, we want you to add a little street to your menu. To help me explain, I'd like to introduce you to one of the freshest fellows I know. Adam Horwitz, a.k.a. Ad-Rock, a famous Beastie Boy. That is how I feel.
Right. Root down. That's I knew it. Yo, Beastie Boys.
This guy's about 30 years past his expiration
awesome.
Date.
This is awesome.
Love, love, love. I have had a crush on Ad-Rock since I was 15 years old. To see Ad-Rock from, like, that close, that's bananas awesome.
Sampling music is similar to sampling ingredients in food. And it's just sort of what you can take to make your own and make different and impress your friends.
Well, chefs, today we want you to try your hand at a little sampling.
What the hell was he talking about? Sampling music is like sampling.
Whoa. What the hell is all this thing, dude?
The Top Chef Just Desserts Beastie Boys Pantry, everyone. It's filled with food items mentioned in some of the Beastie's biggest hits. See anything familiar?
Yeah.
Here?
No, I really so you see, we got canned ravioli, we got pork and beans, we got some bacon. You know, your usual dessert pastry ingredients. So good luck with that one.
What the f*** are we going to do with all this?
Each of you will be choosing two items from this pantry that you'll have to use in a dessert that you'll be serving at a street art exhibit. Okay, Megan, come up and claim two ingredients. It's one of my favorite songs. Brass Monkey and Whiskey. Brass Monkey. That funky monkey. All right.
I'll take the pizza and pork and beans.
I really don't know what's going through his head. I don't think he was thinking at all about the challenge. Maybe, like, he's hungry and he likes to eat because he loves pizza. I chose a 40 and some ham.
Nice. Now that's a meal.
Everyone happy with what they got?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Each of you will be picking one more item from the pantry, but not for you. For one of the other chefs. Oh.
Oh. Yeah, a little bit of a sabotage.
Kick it! Oh, jeez.
Good times. Woo!
Like Bill.
You know, I would have delivered Colonel Sanders down to Davy Jones' locker.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was the dumbest task I've ever heard. And that was like an elimination thing they had to do this.
You know? I just felt bad for him. It's like, hey, we got this Beastie Boy. Let's do... Can we do something with him?
Yeah. Well, they mentioned food a lot in their songs, maybe?
Yeah. Brass Monkey.
I did think it was cool. The guy who won it made the mashed potato cheesecake with the foam gravy.
I'd eat it.
That was inventive. That was pretty cool. And it was funny, the girl Katsy, who has some kind of mental problem, I don't know, she won the last two tasks, so she's doing well, and now she's psyching herself out or something. She's losing her mind.
Yeah.
But she does French fries with, like, powdered sugars and stuff.
Yeah, she did two different sugars and three dips.
Yeah.
Hot butter.
And she keeps, like, mumbling to herself. She's like, I took a lot of chances. I took a lot of chances. And they're like, what? Yeah. She made French fries. But it's funny that Marcel shows up on this episode, I guess, just to taste food
with
and
him.
Visit Sally or whatever. But they had a game on here that reminded me of what we used to do in the frame department, Stephen, which is we had a plastic grenade with a clip on it. And the idea, Bill, was to sneak up behind somebody and clip a grenade to them or on the back of them and walk away. And they'd be walking around with this grenade on them. And then they'd
see how long you could keep it on.
Yeah, they'd eventually go, "Oh, damn it! Come on!" And then, you know, you would forget all about it. And the funniest thing would be when you would just turn around one day and go, "Oh, shit, how long is this?" And you never felt it the whole time. But they have this game they're playing on Top Chef Just Desserts. You know, you got bananaed, and they actually physically set a banana on your shoulder without you noticing. And it's so funny because that Marcel is talking to that girl, one of the girls there, about her food, and the dude comes up and he sets a banana perfectly on his shoulder, and then just kind of pulls away. And he's still talking to her, and she goes, "You just got bananaed." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "Whoa, what the?" And he gets his banana sitting on his shoulder. So then Marcel tries to do it to the Johnny guy. What's his name? Johnny Cakes.
Douchebag.
Yeah, Johnny Cakes, the judge. And he doesn't do a good job of it. He just shakes it off. But let's check this out. It's pretty funny. Oh, and we get to see Katsy kind of have a nervous breakdown.
High five. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what did you
mean? We have a little game, which we didn't have access to. Yeah. Now.
The banana game. You got to banana people without them knowing it.
So.
You just got bananas.
The ground rules are, the people can notice you put the banana.
Can you tell me what the banana means?
That's Pepe.
What's the deal? This is Pepe. So this is a reoccurring character?
If you banana Johnny, you get bonus points. I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but that's our goal right now.
Yours were our least favorite desserts today.
Oh, they did that psych out where they had the worst first.
I think the falafel it threw me for a loop from the get-go, and it just basically screwed me over in my brain.
Dessert was kind of weird. The ice cream didn't really taste like beer. To me, at least, I didn't taste it.
I don't suck this bad. I make the tasty stuff. To be judged on falafel, ham, and beer, like, that just sucks.
I'll make sure you know that we are judging other people on just as crazy ingredients.
No, I know. Sorry, I don't mean to be such a crybaby, but this just sucks.
Katsy, what about you?
I took a risk again. And this time it didn't pay off.
You know, the more I think about Katsy's dessert, I find it so interesting that she kept saying over and over she was taking a risk by what she was doing.
What is risky about making French fries? It was pretty literal.
I took a risk, just like I've done the last other challenges, and this time it didn't pay off.
And she made French fries with dipping sauces, not pork and bean brownie. Just saying.
You're just saying?
My culinary standpoint is, I'm just saying.
I put a shitload of effort into this. I want to keep cooking. If I'm going home, I'm going to be really upset. You know?
You need to quit stress eating, honey.
Well, thanks for pointing it out.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for pointing it out right now in this situation.
Wow.
Sorry. I wasn't trying to be mean.
What See you next bad. Tuesday. Jesus.
And then the girl trying to comfort her got eliminated. You know, it's just like, you're all spazzing. But I thought it was funny because when she was talking, like, you know, I really took a lot of risks. You just see them all rolling their eyes like,
yeah, she didn't. I think that's one of those situations where the person repeats cliches to themselves to try to convince themselves that they actually took a risk.
Yeah. You really took a risk here. And then you're kind of mumbling. And it's like, oh, man, so-and-so lost it. But I guess nobody on this season has been as bad as the first season with that weird guy. He's like, I made Red Hots for my mommy. You remember that guy?
Was that Craigie?
God, no. What was that guy's name? Remember he fainted on the ground and then they said he will not be returning.
Bring him back.
Yeah, like he didn't get to finish last time, so we're bringing him back. And they're like,
he was the crazy guy, right?
Yeah, he's just psycho. He had a nervous breakdown in front of
I completely forgot about him.
Guy was whack, yo. So, yeah, that's Tom Schaff. Okay. Now, guys, I want to talk about Terra Nova before we talk about Alphas. And, you know, it was a two-hour premiere. You know, I went into this not trying to think anything of it. I just know it's a show about dinosaurs. I remember a couple of episodes ago we kind of talked about the premise. I didn't really understand how you could go back in time on your planet and start civilization over without screwing up everything, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know, you step on a butterfly. And they even, like, mentioned that in the episode. So at least they referenced it. But
they said it's a different time stream.
Yeah, they figured out it's a different time stream. But the whole idea of the show is it's a family dynamic, a family who lives in a really shitty world. You know, we've destroyed the civilization river. With horrible air bill and pollution, and cops are dicks. You're only allowed to have two kids. If you have three, you know, you go to jail or something. I don't know.
They said that if he wouldn't have punched the cop, that maybe he just would have gotten a fine. But
yeah, that's what
they
his son
still
said.
Would have taken the or taken Jesus.
Should have taken.
They would have taken the kid away. I think.
Right. Okay. Here's the thing. I love the idea of a big budget sci-fi show on primetime television. I think that's awesome. Good. You know. Good for. Television because
this
think,
show no
I think there should be sci-fi. Hey, dinosaurs awesome too, but there are things that really drag the premise down. And I know what happens in a pilot where they try to appeal to everybody in the first episode. They tried to do it too much, and I even think the pilot had like 16 writers. I don't know,
it's horrible. You can tell it's a freaking mess.
They try to fit because they have the dad, they have the mom who's a doctor, the dad's a cop, the mom's a doctor. Okay, got that there. Procedurals, people like what women they love their hospital shows. Okay, but also teen melodrama. You got the douchebag son, but you know, you have the smart daughter, but also you got the little
real
kid.
Smart daughter.
But also, what else do we got, guys? We got dinosaurs. Everybody loves dinosaurs, right?
Oh, and we've got a family trying to hide their youngest kid, so you've got family peril.
All right, but also, Bill, you have mythology there, strange tribal writing.
Oh, yeah. No one knows what it is. Who could have done this?
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like Lost. I was a fan of Lost, but also I really like hospital dramas and cop procedurals. I'm totally into this show. It's got everything. But it's a little much. Now, first thing is, when they get there to Terra Nova, I'm not minding it so much. You know, they introduced Quaritch from Avatar, right? The show's got a very Avatar feel, too.
Yep. Comes out, tells them they're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, something about jujubes.
Dinosaurs will eat your eyes for jujubes.
Yeah. And then they have the daughter who let's go ahead and play this. We introduced to Quaritch. And the daughter explains why they're not disrupting time.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah, it's good that they're telling us this. Because there's even a line where the son goes... She goes, there's the probe they sent back, and that's how we know we're on a different time stream. And the brother's like, huh, what? She goes, didn't you pay attention? No, he didn't pay attention because you're actually telling us, the viewers. That's how you get to tell us. So let's check this out.
Citizens of 2149, I'm Commander Nathaniel Taylor, but you probably already know that.
And you're not in Kansas anymore.
Congratulations. Each one of you has taken a first step, just as I did 7 years ago, toward a new beginning. Together, we are at the dawn of a new civilization. No pressure. The world you left behind fell victim to some of the baser instincts of our species.
Mine-obtainium.
War. Ignorance.
And Bravo programming.
We blew it. We destroyed our home.
Who's we, sucker? I didn't do shit.
But we have been entrusted with a second chance.
Hallelujah.
A chance to start over. A chance to get it right. Welcome to Terra Nova, folks.
You've got to be joking.
It's the probe. You know, the one they sent through when they first discovered the time fracture. How can you not know that?
Do what now?
I was having a life, Maddie.
No one knew at first how far back the fracture went or even where it led to. They sent this back with a beacon inside so that, you know, they could find it however many millions of years later. Only they never did.
Huh?
That's how they knew that they were dealing with a new time stream.
Whatever, man.
Whatever? Okay, Josh, you do realize that
whatever.
If we were in the same time stream, then
where's
something like,
iPod?
I don't know, just stepping on a butterfly could change everything.
Where's a
like,
girl?
For example, us never being born.
Can I scratch my name on it like everybody else's?
No!
Hey, go ahead, Zoe. Mark it up.
Man. Check it out.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Where are you going?
Get some real food. I'm starving.
What about orientation?
Explore my own, Maddie.
Josh!
Look after Zoe.
Ugh.
Yeah, that sound she makes, ugh, it's exactly the way I felt.
Yeah, the entire episode.
When the family arrives, they get a new house. They can breathe clean air, Steven. It's blue. The sky is blue. Clouds. It's beautiful. This guy's like, whatever. Don't care. You know, my girlfriend. Whatever.
I'm having a hard time breathing. I think I'm getting too much oxygen. Oxygen sucks.
Their dad went to prison to save their little girl, his sister, his younger sister, and he's like, I'm mad at you, Dad. You were in prison. Like, life sucked, man.
You left us, man.
You blow. It's like
you had a choice.
You're not my dad anymore. And then, you know, okay, you've just arrived. There are man-eating dinosaurs outside the fence. What are you going to do, Steven? You're going to sneak out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sneak out and
I
get
would.
Possibly. Yeah, hell yeah.
Because,
you're going to go.
Because some precocious piece.
Yeah.
Tells you, like, hey, how you doing, baby?
Hey, guess what we do? We go and we make moonshine out by the Roaring Rapids and get in a bikini. Hell,
I've got short shorts and I've got my flowing blouse on.
I also love that the dad's like, hey, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in orientation. He's like, whatever, man. I'm off. I'm out of here. And he's like, no, son. He goes, oh, you're not my dad anymore or something like that. And he's like, oh, and he's all wounded. But there's a part.
My dad's now a Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, screw him. But
they're cooler.
The dad is on agricultural detail where he has to cut down a bunch of vines and shit that grow in the
fence.
That
was the funniest buffering scene I've ever seen, padding a show ever.
Yeah, chopping up vines. But there's a part where a giant millipede like goes slithers by his arm. He goes, oh, and he falls off the friggin' thing. He lands on his back. He's like, oh, you see people walking by, Bill. Nobody goes, oh my God, are you okay? They just
keep
walking.
It seems like
on.
They chose the right, you know, concerned people to reestablish
like,
the human race.
Too bad for that guy. It's every man for himself.
Sucks to be you, man.
But what does this character do? He gets right back up there. If there's a giant millipede, Steven, the size of my arm, I'm not going back up there. Screw that. Because if there's giant millipedes, there's giant cockroaches. There's giant
ladybugs.
Giant spiders. There's giant scorpions. Probably giant mosquitoes. I'm not going, okay?
They're all coming after you.
I'm going to walk around in a giant tent with the...
he's a bubble boy.
Giant fleas.
Yeah, just nobody... Nothing's touching me. So the problem that I have with the show, because I really like the idea of dinosaurs and stuff every week. That's fun. Land of the Lost or whatever. But when you create...
Sleestacks.
I've talked about it many times in zombie movies. When... The only way you can become in danger is to put yourself in peril by doing something stupid, which is the son going off with this girl. I mean, she was cute and she's in a bikini, so maybe do it. But I'm sorry. Any of that's going to be blocked by the fact that there's man-eating dinosaurs. I don't care. I'm not going.
Yeah, I don't care how horny I am. I'm not following some girl out that's waving her short shorts at me.
Yeah, and I want to tell the guy, dude, there's a lot of other hot chicks here who aren't sneaking out, okay? Go get to meet them, okay? And so the whole idea of the pilot of putting them in danger so we see dinosaurs because they're all idiots, that drove me nuts. Meanwhile,
yeah, and apparently each kid in the group is dumber than the last.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they have moonshine that they make from these roots or whatever. But the funniest part is when the one black girl, she goes, "Oh my God, I'm going to make a run for it. And the dinosaur's going to get us and I'm out of here." And they're like, "No." And that's when I wanted the son to go, "Oh gosh, no, please don't go." And she runs and he doesn't care at all. Keep on his doesn't care attitude at that point. Right. When you say like, "Oh geez, oh, too bad."
Whatever.
And it's like, "You don't care about anything." "No, you run. I don't. That's when my family hates me." "Oh, well, I hate you too." It just turns out everyone hates this kid. Whatever.
I'm going to go join the Sixers.
I wanted him to walk out and the dinosaur like roared him and he just looks at him and goes, "Whatever," and walks away. And the dinosaur's like, "Huh?" Like, what the hell, man? That guy doesn't give a shit about anything.
Even the dinosaur's like, "Whoa, this guy's hardcore."
It's like, dude. And the dinosaur just walks away. Oh,
maybe I shouldn't eat him.
His feelings are kind of hurt.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
If he's bad, he must taste bad, too. I worked hard on that roar.
You know what always drove me nuts about the Jurassic Park movies is they never showed a dinosaur getting blown away, like by a shotgun or a machine gun. They'd always do off camera. You'd hear, and run, and they'd run, and the dinosaur would come. You never got to see that. They'd have machine guns, shotguns. Remember even Jurassic Park 3, they have the Cobra assault cannon, you know, that they take with them. All you hear is the gunshot in the distance. The guy comes, and he gets eaten. And I'm like, come on, why won't they show the dinosaurs get blown away? Because in this, the kids have machine guns, and they're shooting at them, and the bullets aren't doing anything to them. Are they? There's one point where one falls down like, ow, and he gets back up. I'm back to normal. And there's parts where they're, what do they call them, carnotaurs?
Carnosaurs?
The slasher.
I love those movies.
Yeah. So they're chasing them, and they have sonic cannons, like the creatures on Geonosis build. And I'm like, what? They can't open up with the heavy artillery, like 50 cals? And just see them, like, get picked apart, like dinosaur squibs and shit.
Well, they wouldn't want to upset the natural balance.
That would be awesome. No, blow them away. I would be like, we are going to rid this planet of dinosaurs.
Okay.
But still just saying, you know, the whole butterfly effect thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going back in time. It's another time stream, but that time stream has its... it's
they're ruining,
as well.
They're
ruining somebody else's lives.
Yeah, they're ruining something. That's what maybe the Sixers are actually. I don't know. Understand how it could ever possibly happen. You're getting
this show is so poorly written and convoluted that it's never going to matter.
The Sixers came back because they were the six people to arrive, the six group of people, and they wanted to rebel and do whatever, but they stole guns and left. So they're another tribe there on the planet. Mm. By the way,
there's
this
the others.
This is planet Earth. Am I right? Planet Earth?
Apparently, yeah.
Yes, assume.
I guess the Sixers stay nearby to get supplies when they need them. Because otherwise, they could go as far away as they wanted, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the planet, I guess. I don't know. But
they control the meteor ore.
Right, some kind of ore that does something.
Oh, and that's the other thing that I was kind of wondering about. Okay, they go 85 million years into the past. Are they saying that, how do they know this time stream doesn't have an extinction event?
Yeah, I was worried about that too.
How are they going to survive that?
Like, did you guys remember that movie Dinosaur, that Disney movie where the meteor comes down and all the little monkeys get killed? Remember that?
And then Shia LaBeouf comes out of the trees.
No, Well, no, 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 no. But okay, there are certain things I liked about the show, and that is you wear a gun on your hip. That's pretty badass.
Whatever.
They could have like a cantina or something in there, Bill. Wouldn't that be cool? There's dinosaurs.
A dinosaur cantina?
I want to see people saddling dinosaurs and riding around on them. I want to see
Mount
shit like
those
that.
Guys.
Yeah, I don't want to see sonic cannons like, oh, we can't hurt the dinosaurs. They're trying to eat us. No, blow them away. Headshots. 50
dinosaur
cal sniper
steaks.
Rifles.
I think the things that have drove me crazy the most was the part with the kids where they go out, mm-hmm. they do their thing. You even brought it up earlier. Okay, so why are they making moonshine out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, like, hey.
Why aren't they doing this in their house where there's no adults living?
Yeah, they established the teenagers, we have our own house, no adults or whatever. It's like, bring the moonshine, do it in your closet or something.
Yeah, why it's not like there's, like, residue smell or something.
Yeah.
So it's, are you cooking moonshine?
It's like, you got... That's like a meth lab in there or something.
I smell alcohol.
I want that dinosaur cider ribs on my car.
Yeah, just like the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they're on their way back. A bunch of convoluted shit happens. They're stuck in a car, and then these slasher dinosaurs come after them. They're shooting them. Mm-hmm. The black girl goes hysterical, runs out.
She doesn't get killed.
No, the dinosaur jumps at her.
Why
and then
didn't
it come back
her?
From commercial break, and you're like, oh, well, she's dead. No, she's not dead.
How did she get away?
Apparently, they don't like to eat people. They just want to scare them and cut them.
Yeah, what the hell? Because we saw, like, was it the same kind that grabbed the guy out of the gunner's chair?
Yeah, it was chewing on his leg.
Well, there's that guy. But remember earlier when the Sixers arrive and the guy's on the machine gun, the dinosaur goes, pulls him off and eats him.
Yeah.
I thought that was a...
No, that was one of those carnosaurs.
Yeah,
okay, there's the slashers.
Yeah, the little
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, the slashers are smaller. They're the raptors.
The raptors. The carnosaurs are the T-Rexes.
Tyrannosaurus rexes.
And I liked how when they showed up to save them, they had darts. They're like, you know, shoot them in the belly. They're bulletproof or whatever. So apparently the kids didn't know that.
It was just driving me crazy that there's like five or six of these slasher things, and none of them decided to eat the
wouldn't
people.
Wouldn't it have been more effective if one of the kids got killed in the pilot? Like, holy
absolutely.
Shit, man,
kill the black
like,
girl or the guy that gets his leg gnawed on.
Yeah, and he's even making a joke later when he's in the infirmary with his foot. Like, he makes some kind of joke. I don't remember what it is. And it's like, dude, you're like mauled by a dinosaur and you got your foot bit off, I assume. I'd be traumatized for a long time. But maybe that kid, you know, he's like, who cares? Just a foot, man.
Whatever, man.
I met this new guy here and he's really got a good philosophy about it, not caring about shit.
The Gen Xers, they don't feel highs or lows. Yeah, right.
Whatever. But the guy, Quaritch, Bill.
Yeah, what's Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang. I think he's great. He's the best thing about the show.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
And we, you know, they're building the mythology. The apparently smart girl is going to be able to decode the symbols that Quaritch's son is leaving behind. And
yeah, it's his son leaving it behind. I thought it was some previous civilization, so I was bummed out by that.
Yeah, that's – well, I think it's more interesting that it would be a previous civilization or maybe maybe a group that went back and tried that time stream and then left and they left the key how to get out.
Right. Yeah.
Something
cool.
like that. Something a little more interesting than his son is crazy scientist.
Well, here's something crazy. Do like – I know it's silly to bring up Land of the Lost, but bring in like some kind of alien – Sleestak type culture there.
Yeah, absolutely. Some sort of advanced alien species.
This show needs to not resemble so many other things, which the pilot did.
Yeah, I thought I was watching Lost. I thought I was watching Jurassic Park. I thought I was watching Avatar.
The part where the little girl goes out and she's feeding the brontosaurus or whatever, can you just hear? What I think is funny about that, the little girl is holding on and it's pulling her off the ground. Again, we have people walking by.
Yeah.
If I saw a little girl like, hey, little girl, what the hell? But they're like, eh, who gives a shit? You know,
whatever.
They just keep walking along. Who gives a shit?
That's the attitude you have to adopt at Terra Nova or else you'll get killed.
Who gives a shit, right?
You have to expect bad things to happen.
We're all a bunch of cynical bastards here at Terra Nova. Welcome to the club.
We're the saviors of the human race.
And another thing remember, like, they have to drink, like, this blue milk, Bill, for, like, 2 days to get acclimated.
Yeah, I don't know why Aunt Brew gave that to them.
Yeah, they're like, blue milk for 2 days, and the son's like, I'm going to go get some real food. Whatever. And he's like, I want to eat this, like, alien fruit or something.
I totally don't need this blue drink that's going to help rebalance my body chemicals or anything.
And he doesn't even know this girl. He meets the girl because she kind of, like, laughs.
Stares and laughs at him. He just left the future where a girl said she loved him.
Yeah, he goes like, what are you laughing at? And, you know, like, he's the guy's a prick, man. He should have been
eating. Laughing at you, asshole.
That's why, like, the whole series will be, like, people just, like, groaning at this damn son who's just a punk. Shut up, Dad. She sucked.
And then they have to make the point that the dad was the same as him, that he got in trouble chasing girls.
Yeah, even the mom says, come on, you would have done the same thing, a cute girl. And he's like, yeah, I didn't live around freaking man-eating dinosaurs. Yeah. Jesus!
Honey, I have to tell you, yes, I would have chased a girl, but our son is an idiot.
Yes. He is an idiot. I would have, you know, it would have made up the whole thing if the dad would have broken off a branch of a tree and just started whipping his ass at the end. Dad, stop! Whack, 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 whack!
I don't even want to get into how the dad apparently broke out of prison with a laser pointer.
That's awesome. Remember, it cut through metal. So
cut through a cup. And then he decided to take his tracking device out on a subway.
Basically, he had a mini lightsaber, but it was like a letter opener. Like a lightsaber letter opener. Awesome.
There was a lot of, like, there's some ideas you can play with the show, but they really need to settle on who's going to run it, who's going to write it, and they need to get someone.
They can they could work with the premise.
Yeah.
They could work with it.
Get a good sci-fi writer running the show. What's that Jane Espenson or whatever doing?
Right.
Get her on there.
They need to, like, the characters of the Sixers, make them interesting, not make them, like, annoying, where they just show up and just irritate the viewer because they take all the good people's shit all the time or something.
Well, and at the end, they're like, oh, you know, they don't know what the real reason a Terra Nova is. Whoever controls the past controls the future.
And I was like,
what, 85 million years in the past?
Wait, how do they control the future? It's a different time stream, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever happens in the past isn't going to matter in that future.
I want some ape people on here, like Planet of the Apes, just outright rip off. Like, they're like, wait a second.
Like the Time of the Apes Japanese ripoff.
Yes. That would be awesome.
Where, like, the mouths don't move.
Hey, we're ape people. What are you doing over there? What's that Terra Nova thing over there?
Whatever, stupid ape guy.
Where did you find that crazy old wizard?
All right, let's talk about the season finale of Alphas, huh?
I was so angry after because I didn't realize it was the season finale.
Oh, really?
I saw episode 11. I was like, shit, we got two more after this?
Oh, and Alpha, and it says at the end, like, Alphas will return in 2012.
Right. Yeah, I was like, mother effer.
It was, I enjoyed the finale. I really liked this show. The little show that could, isn't it?
It really is.
It's a good show.
They don't have a budget.
I'm impressed by it.
They don't have a budget, so they do it with writing. That's what's so cool about it.
They build characters, and they develop great storylines.
And I love how the episode begins with them mid-chase. You know, they're already into it. They don't have to set up anything. And there's that asshole who sucks your life force out again. What I thought was interesting is, you know, he touches you and sucks your life force, but also if he's near you, you know, you discover that he can just start messing with you. Like, oh, man, I feel real tired. That guy's a dick. But
why is this guy lowering my blood sugar?
I need a Twinkie.
Some sweets. But I thought it was cool how Hicks, like, shot a gun through a crack of a door to kill him. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Where's the fruit pie magician?
Quick, Cupcake. Cupcake, go get Twinkie the Kid and Fruit Pie the Magician. But here's the great part. Bill shows up at work and nobody's there but Gary. And then they
I was pissed.
They have this little exchange here, but they also establish a new bad guy. And this guy is pretty formidable, isn't he? He's got interesting alpha powers.
We don't even know what's going on with him. All we know is he doesn't age.
He's been
and
around,
apparently he was in the Civil War.
He's been around a long time. Let's check this out.
Who's manning the fort?
It's not a fort, Bill. It's a bad metaphor. Forts have ramparts and cannons. We have desks, carpet.
You sitting in the boss's chair? What, are you in charge now? Where is everybody?
Yeah, Bill, I am in charge when no one else is here. What are you doing here anyway? You're sick. You should be resting. 6 more days, not including the weekend.
I'm fine. The doctor said that that infarction actually
normalized me, so yeah, no more overdrive, no more underdrive. I'm optimal, so that
Bill,
the rest was only precautionary. Yeah.
Infarction.
No.
Come on.
Gary, not now. Listen.
Fart.
Listen, we got
I'm being immature.
You know we've been trying to figure out why the red flag leadership has been off the grid, right?
Yeah, it's an ongoing investigation, and you're interrupting
it. No, I'm laying at home, right, sitting on my ass, and I'm thinking, I may actually have a possible lead. You know how that invisible girl, Griffin, said that I need to find out who or what Stanton Parrish was, right?
Yeah, well, go and look it up on your computer, Bill. Gary, it's easy. Use a search engine.
Gary, listen to me. I already tried that. I couldn't find anything.
Don't put your fingers in my stream.
Okay, listen. Then I got to thinking, like, why did Red Flag try so hard to erase our MK Ultra files? What if the secret to Stanton Parrish is on Dr. Rosen's cloud drive?
Bill, you want me to look through the cloud drive?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can. I'm already multitasking.
No, Gary,
you I'm looking for Isaac,
all,
and I'm tracking Danny.
Yeah, hey, Doc. We haven't cracked it yet, but Gary and I just found something that is huge. You need to see it now.
All right.
So we looked for the name, but all we found was a book by a dead guy. And then when I asked Anna about it, she just lied to me.
Gary, you spoke with Anna. I expressly told you not to do
it. Look, I told him the same thing, okay? But he's his own man now. Just give him a minute.
Yeah, give me a minute. I'm my own man. Thanks, Bill. So Anna's a good liar, not like me. but I still caught her because she said is instead of was. Stanton Parrish isn't a dead writer. He's alive.
Bill, please.
Doc.
So I did another search, but not by name, by face. And that's the creepy part Bill was talking about. There, he was a scientist in Russia for their MK Ultra program. Same face, same man.
So Stanton Parrish was a double agent.
No, Dr. Rosen. It's a puzzle. You have to look at all the pieces. It's a metaphor. Okay. Same face, Stanton Parrish.
Stanton Parrish.
Wait, this is from the Civil War.
Yeah, it's old.
He was about 40 years old,
yeah,
right?
It's old.
Same guy, 100 years later when he worked for MKUltra.
This alpha who doesn't age?
And Anna says that he's dangerous. She's scared of him, and Anna's not scared of anyone. And there's this. He wrote this, the manifesto. Bill says it's the Red Flag playbook.
Right. An alpha this powerful, and we knew nothing about him.
Well, that's why they were trying to erase our files, to keep Parrish hidden.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
You know, throughout this, the first season, they keep hitting home that you really can't trust the government the way they're dealing with alphas. The previous episode where they took them all in.
Right.
And they were questioning him and stuff. Didn't that episode piss you off the way they were treating them?
Right.
Yeah, it's that register and subjugate kind of thing.
And I loved when they escaped from that place, too. That was cool where they all, like, joined up. And then it turned out Dr. Rosen was actually a shapeshifter guy. That was all really cool in that
episode. Was.
And then in this, when they do the raid on the Red Flag people and they just open fire on them. That shit was intense. You know, it was just a bloodbath.
Yeah, I was really kind of I was shocked. It was disheartened. Like, no, oh no.
And it's funny. like
you knew something was going to happen. You just didn't expect it to go that far.
Right. And
I thought maybe they would corral them and then take them to Binghamton.
Uh-huh.
But to just mow them all down.
Yeah, and even that chick agent who's like the liaison, you know, who's always yelling at him. I've started to hate her because she's just like a lackey. She doesn't care about them at all, and it just starts to annoy you, you know, the way they're treating
her. Well, it's because we get used to Rosen, who's all about caring about these people.
Yeah.
But also, it's kind of revealed in this episode how he's using them, and he has this great moment of clarity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really disturbing. It's getting on – it's kind of an X-Men kind of thing.
Yeah, where, like – I want them to break off from the government. And
well, they're
going
to have to now.
Yeah.
If they don't, after what happens, they'll all end up in Binghamton.
And also, right. You know, the way Gary, okay, let's skip to when Dr. Rosen, he goes before the, what was it? Some committee.
Right. A closed session of Congress or something.
Right. And Gary broadcasts it, right? He causes that to happen?
Right.
Yes.
That's pretty badass power to have, where you could just broadcast whatever you want at any time.
Well, he takes the... Yeah, well, we saw little bits of it, of him being able to take things from the computer, route it through his phone, put it on a TV, but then to do it on a global scale.
Yeah, it's just, I didn't realize just how, like, badass his power was until he did that.
Yeah, he controls all information streams.
And plus, he's pissed now because Anna, poor Anna, got shot in the head. And that scene where he's kind of freaking out and beating on the guard, I thought that was really good.
He deserves a nomination of some sort.
He's fantastic.
For his performances.
Isn't
it's just
he?
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He's so good as Gary. I love Gary. And I've started to like the black cop guy, Bill.
Absolutely. He's probably my second or third favorite now. What's funny is the show started and you thought it was going to be kind of a vehicle for...
Hicks,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has taken a backseat to Gary and Dr. Rosen.
Right, yeah, totally.
Because they're just such dynamic characters.
He's a cool character that's in there, you know? Like, the part where he's shooting darts at the chick who's blocking him with knives, I was like, that's cool, you know? That's all cool and stuff.
Yeah.
And the part he goes, you're just like me. No, I'm better. You know, that kind of reminded me of, like, a nod to Wolverine. He's like, you're good, I'm better, kind of a thing. Which I thought
I was just going to say that. He's like the good guy Wolverine.
Yeah. And I like when the guy with the burning hands burned Bill's face. I love how he just threw the guy. Like, oh, hell, enough of this shit. I'm throwing this guy.
Yeah, I kept going, no, not his face. Not his face. Oh, what's his wife going to think?
Yeah.
I've become attached to these characters.
But he seemed to be okay, so that was good. They're gonna
apparently the guy doesn't burn that hot.
They need a healing... Alpha on the team, so whenever they get hurt by the end of the episode, can heal them and they're fine.
Yeah, that'll be the next edition.
So one thing that was interesting when he was in Congress or whatever, he goes, we'll get you whatever you need. You need some more alphas on your team. You need more money. And I was like, holy shit, that's going
to
be awesome.
Pick one from Binghamton.
I want sci-fi to be saying that to the producers. What do you need? You need some more money for next season?
Yeah, we'll cancel the rest of the shit shows we have.
Yeah, because
Warehouse 13, who needs it?
I like the show a lot. It's good stuff. Yeah. It's fun stuff. And it's dramatic shit happens in the show, and that's what I love, where you're like, oh, damn, you know?
And then it's got the comic levity, side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gary, the comic relief, had a breakdown in this, and he felt so bad for the guy. So it's good stuff. And what was the name of the bad guy again?
Stanton Parrish.
Stanton Parrish. I love that name. Stanton Parrish.
It sounds ominous.
And his Rosen's daughter has the ability to make you feel whatever she does.
She's an empath.
Yeah. And I love when Dr. Rosen's like, well, I want to know what you're feeling right now. And just when she touches him or whatever. And the way he, David Strathairn.
Yes.
The way he... shows the pain, or I mean, it just shows what a good actor he is.
He is fan friggin' tastic,
and he's found a good show to be on too.
Yeah, and I'm happy that a show like that, he was willing to take a chance on a show like that, because he's the sort of guy that he does films and TV once in a while, but he's mainly like a stage actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the talent
he's,
is.
Like, I mean, remember, like, in the Bourne Ultimatum? Like, he was kind of the bad guy in that.
yeah,
the government bad guy. He's great in that, in those kind
he's
of
roles. He's fantastic. He always he has a certain amount of gravitas that other actors don't.
Yeah, he does.
He can portray so many different emotions so well. He's totally believable.
And you know, when you watch a show like Alphas and stuff, and then you watch a lot of the new shows, you can immediately, like if you watch them in the same night even, you can see what a show is missing. You know, like, oh, they don't have a great actor to carry this shit, you know?
Yeah, well, I watched Alphas and then I watched Terra Nova in the same night.
Stupid Alphas.
What? Stupid Terra Nova.
Now, I want to talk to you, before we talk about Fringe, I want to talk to you about Person of Interest. Have you watched that, Bill?
I have. I watched the first episode, which was really weak for a pilot, like particularly weak for a pilot, mm-hmm. especially with the star power behind it and the, you know, on the crew or the cast and the crew, the writers.
Right.
And I watched the second episode and it's starting to find where it wants to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, because I've watched the first two episodes. Love the cast. Love Jim Caviezel. Love Michael Emerson. Okay? But they need to make them more interesting.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's like this understated paranoia of who right. are these people?
Right. And, you know, I can understand they're... I don't care at all about the black cop investigating Jim Caviezel.
No, not at all. I
maybe
could give a shit about her.
Bring her in later or something. I don't care right yeah. now. Whenever it cuts her, I'm like, eh, I don't care.
Let them build the mythology
of
the two main characters first.
I don't know if it's CBS or what. There's too much of explaining everything to the viewer kind of moments in the show. Mm-hmm. Where, for instance, there's a part where Jim Caviezel shoots the guy in the laundry and he falls down. And the guy starts to get back up immediately. You know, they do this in every movie and TV show, though. Where
yeah.
You know why he's getting up, don't you, Steven? He got shot in the chest. How's he getting up? Is he a Terminator?
Bulletproof vest.
That's right. So what does he do? He's got
to
pull the shirt open.
To show the bullet
sticking there. And like, oh, he's not a Terminator sent from the future. He's just got a bulletproof vest. So, okay. But Jim Caviezel and Michael Emerson, they're great when they're together and they're talking, but there's too much of like, it must be somebody else. Oh,
yeah.
I know what it is. It's this guy over here. He's a hitman. Why don't you go check that out? Yeah, I'll go check that out. And he goes off to check it out, and then he calls Michael Emerson and tells him whatever. Come on, have some... Jim Caviezel can have a sense of humor. Give him quips. Something to say. Be a smartass to bad guys. Give him more personality.
Let him be a little more cynical, a little less brooding.
Have some life in the show is what I want. Breathe some life into this shit. You know, the girl that they saved in the second episode? Keep her around. Make her permanent. Have them have to deal with this girl. Not a cynical girl like in Terra Nova or something.
I mean kind of like they did with Alphas, you know, bringing in the...
Yeah.
What's his name? To the shooter, you know, the guy with the...
Hicks,
yeah. I mean, because he was... not part of the original group.
Right, and then they invited him in. I mean, I like the stuff where they showed flashbacks with Michael Emerson and his friend, and he was, like, disturbed by how the machine casts off people that don't matter because they're not terrorists or whatever, Bill. I thought that was interesting, but they need to breathe some new life into the show because right now it's very, like, stale,
well,
I think.
Yeah, well, it's not as much breathe new life. It's just breathe life. You know, make it more vibrant, more
those actors can
exciting.
They need to, the producers need to watch those actors perform and everything. It's like, oh, they can do this? Okay, let's give them some of that shit to do.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funeral dirge.
It's too stale for me right now. I mean, I'm going to keep watching, but I'm going to tell you, man, they got to bring some life into this shit because...
Yeah.
As I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, man, come on.
Well, and CBS has given them their main slot. This is their huge slot, the Thursday night CSI slot.
There was two moments in the show where Jim Caviezel was what do they call it, the deus machina?
Yeah.
Where he showed up just in time. Remember, the girl's in the laundromat, the hitman, he's got the gun, he's pointing it at her, and... And Jim Caviezel shot him. Okay, thank God. later on, you know, Michael Emerson and the girl, they're in the hallway. Here comes a hitman. He's got the gun. He's going to... And... Oh, thank God, Jim Caviezel's here just in the... You can't do that in every episode.
No, that's not how it works.
Oh, my God. He's pulling back the hammer. He's going to shoot his fingers away. He's pulling... And... Oh, Jim Caviezel, yeah! He's like, yeah, I got here. I want to see him showing up where he's all sweaty like, I almost didn't do it this time, man, but I got here. Just he always, or he pops out of like an air conditioner vent. And you just see his arm come out, the gun. You know, he just always barely makes it.
Garbage can lid arm pops up.
Yeah. You see him ricocheting shit like Cameron in Office, you know, trying to make that shot. Just come on, breathe some life in it. Because come on, you've got the cast, you've got the Jonathan Nolan or whatever. I assume he's supposed to be good because they keep telling me Jonathan Nolan had something to do with it, Bill.
I certainly hope he has more to do with it than this is what he's giving us.
The whole premise,
saving the good material for the Dark Knight.
The Mentalist. The reason The Mentalist works for me is because of the character Patrick Jane. It's a procedural, but then you throw him in there, and he's a smart ass. He messes with people's heads, and it makes it entertaining. You know?
Yeah.
You gotta have that in there. Right now you have Michael Emerson, who's a very straight-laced, nebbish, dweeb guy who's keeps to himself and he has a limp. And then you have very quiet, stoic, I don't remember the name of his character, Jim Caviezel. And
Caden.
Yeah, Caden, yeah. And he, so you got these two quiet guys who don't like to share anything together. Bring some, put somebody else, put Punky Brewster in there, anything, Urkel.
Sully Moon Fry?
Yeah, Urkel, anybody, somebody. Urkel. Have
can
a
I do that?
As much as I hate this character, the wisecracking hacker person, I don't know. Somebody, not the black detective who's investigating the hero of the show.
Who you totally don't care about.
She's like, oh, hmm. And even like Jim Caviezel showed that he didn't, he totally put her in her place by the end. He's like, I want a meeting with you. And then provides the girl at the end where it's basically like, whatever. She's no threat at all. Why keep showing her is what I'm getting at.
She's NYPD. It's not like she's CIA.
Yeah, it's like, I can understand, like, she's the guy who chases after the Incredible Hulk every episode, right? The reporter. It's like she shows up just as he's leaving. So, person of interest, work in progress. At least I'm hoping it improves over time.
Yeah.
I watched the first two episodes of the show Revenge on ABC about the, you know, it's the rich people in the Hamptons, and they ruin this guy's life, and he's dead or whatever, and his daughter has grown up, and she's there to exact revenge on everyone in that town. And each episode, she's doing something to destroy their lives. It's pretty entertaining.
So it's the Count of Monte Cristo?
Yeah, it's actually loosely based on the Count of Monte Cristo. And so far, I'm entertained by it. And the girl, the lead girl, is pretty cute, too.
Oh, yeah, that's that Emily Van Camp. She is a cutie pie.
She is.
That's not meant in a really creepy way.
If you get
but,
a chance, Bill, check out the first two episodes of Revenge on Hulu or something.
I will. She's of age. She's 25. Okay, I don't have to feel too bad.
I haven't really watched the new Charlie's Angels because it doesn't look good.
Oh,
or
hell no.
Me.
No. I don't even want to bother.
Don't make G in ball.
I watched Unforgettable with Poppy Montgomery just because I think she's a talented actress, Bill.
She's very talented. She's got a couple incredible talents.
The show, the thing that's funny about the show is she has a memory. She can never forget anything, okay? Except when her sister is killed when she was young, she can't remember details of that, which, you know, would be pretty disturbing. I wouldn't want to remember. But she can remember, you know, they kind of established that she can remember right when she found her dead and her sister. And so that's disturbing. She can recall it exactly, and that's kind of sad. But details on how to solve the murder, whatever. But what I think is funny is they always have a scene where she's remembering something. So she walks into her memory. So she's there. Poppy Montgomery is as the scene originally happened. And then new Poppy Montgomery shows up to look around in the scene, which I think is funny. She can see herself. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Even if I could remember everything, I wouldn't be able to walk around myself in 360 degrees, could
yeah,
I? Wouldn't I just be exactly where I was standing when I...
Right. Hey, but it's a cool visual trick.
It is. And that show's got kind of a needs to have some life breathed into it kind of thing going on there where it's kind of...
Maybe just have her do investigations in a bikini.
I know, Bill, she has a tank top, like a tight tank top on.
Shit, why am I not watching this?
And they even had the other characters like, yeah, that's not really professional detective. She's like, I got a day job or something. They're like, okay. And so she's going to be in a tank top every episode.
Sweet.
So watch
I'm
that.
I'm watching.
It's not a great show by any...
You got me.
I'm going to say Revenge is the show that I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see next week.
Is it kind of sleazy?
Revenge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
All right, I'm there.
Good stuff.
Sleaze.
All right, now let's talk about Fringe before we get into the news, Bill. And I just want to open my Fringe talk with this. Where is Peter?
No.
Where is Peter?
They need to fix this soon because I hate it.
Bill, it's been one episode.
I hate it already.
I did like the flash of Peter in the background. Like,
I had sure, to... yeah. I have no problem with that. But it's just, I don't like being rebooted.
Right.
And it's what it is. Here's a reboot. You bring on Lincoln Lee or whatever the hell his name is.
I do like Lincoln Lee. I like his character.
Yeah, I do. But it just – the dynamic is different now. Walter's a hermit. Like things are just – I understand what they're doing, want it to end.
Well, they're not doing a good enough job so far of – okay, if Peter never existed, how did Walter get out of the hospital and got him talked into that? How the hell did Olivia do that by herself?
Yeah.
How did she even know about Walter without Peter?
Yeah. Well, I assume that he still did the experiments on her.
Yeah, I guess. And that's another thing. Like, it's too confusing if you start thinking about it.
Yeah,
like,
it's
how
really
they got
too
to the
much.
Point where they're at right now without Peter there. It's just hard to fathom that. You know what I mean? And also, I was like, hey, the guy from the Stargate series, he's on Fringe now. He's got a new role. He's got a new job. And, oh, wait, he's dead. What's that guy's name? And Dead Silence. So who
dead
cares?
Silence.
So anyway, I did like
that. Sorry, I accidentally muted my microphone. I can't remember his name, though.
The guy, when they're chasing the guy at the beginning, you know, Lincoln Lee, and the translucent guy is like, and he, like, jumps out the window and flies into another one. I was like, dude, that was a cool effect for a TV show. That's pretty sweet. And, you know, they established a new shapeshifter bad guy or something. I don't know.
Like, right.
The show works. It works. You don't need to have Peter gone the entire season.
Because they're still, I guess, half thinking, and get me if I'm wrong or not, but, you know, he can morph, but they don't have to use that thing they press into the roof of their mouth now.
Except now they're see-through, I guess.
Yeah, they're creepy.
You know, there was a reveal at the end of a lady standing there. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand what the hell I was looking at. She was, like, standing there. Was she one of the victims? Oh, yes, she was.
Yeah, she was one of the victims.
So the lady...
She was in the car.
The person who touched her
and
killed her...
She was the one they needed to look at her anus.
Right, yeah. Because the person who touched her now looked like her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. I got that. So, Bill, speaking of that, let's check out the scene because it cracked me up.
Walter, are you there? Walter. Walter, can you hear me?
I'm here.
The microwave was causing a disturbance. I can hear you perfectly.
You're as clear as a bell.
How's the squelching?
Sounds great.
I'd like to see the body.
Chop, chop.
Don't let that ham fist touch her.
If you don't mind holding off a moment, I'd like to just do a preliminary.
Burn mark like the other victims. Pupils are dilated. That looks like a hematoma on her right clavicle.
Yeah, and her right jaw.
Rigidity indicates premature rigor mortis. I need to check her anus.
Have that large lady there help you lift her.
I'm going to need to check her anus.
Okay. is sad.
What is?
Engagement ring. I don't think there's anything sadder than when two people are meant to be together and something intervenes. I believe it was your idea, Agent Lee, to test each of the victims for iron-related diseases, that they may share that in common. Very clever. Wrong, but clever.
Well, it was just a long shot.
And yet, interestingly, they do all suffer from a variety of health problems. Gout, hair loss, kidney diseases, which in themselves have something in common. I'm not wearing pants.
I'm on it. Which is what, Walter?
They're all caused by some form of heavy metal poisoning. Lead, zinc, mercury. Thank you, dear.
And what could that possibly mean?
I don't know. But with 30-odd victims, it's unlikely that it's a coincidence. And something else. The levels of metal in their bodies have returned to normal. It's as if their blood has been cleaned.
So what you're saying, he's taking particles from their blood? Why? For what possible reason?
I don't have enough information to form a hypothesis yet. But it would seem he needs a lot of
Look when he gets kind of ornery like that for a moment. Now, if they show Peter where he is, trying to find out where he is or something, that might be interesting. But if he's just going to be like a like real quick every once in a while,
a reflection in the television.
How long can they do that for? Before the viewers mutiny, you know?
Well, are they?
I don't understand. Also,
are they trying to make it easier for new viewers?
I don't know, but okay. When Peter, he brought the two worlds together, right? I mean, we don't exist in the same world, but they can easily take an elevator and go over there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're exchanging.
Or is it
files.
They only share that one spot? That's the only place they can do it.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
The spot there.
At the island?
On the island.
But it seemed like they took an elevator down. No, they did travel somewhere. But I thought it was funny. I don't understand it. You know, I'm confused a lot. But when Lincoln Lee goes with her, you know, he's got his new credentials. And the other Olivia just sees him and kind of smirks like, oh, they got a Lincoln over there too or whatever. But, I mean, I love the show. I love Walter. I love the characters and stuff. But also, you know, how long can they carry on the where did Peter go storyline? That's what I want to know. Also, I don't know why he did it, but the Observer was supposed to erase Peter, and he's like, no, I don't want to, and he leaves.
Well, are they trying to, I don't know, is he, which one, was that last season and the one that was obsessed with the little girl? They said he'd become too human or something.
He'd gotten too attached to the person he was looking out for.
Yeah, is that what's happening with this Observer? He's become too attached to Peter?
Maybe, or hopefully it's something deeper meaning than that. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere traced in his family line. I don't know.
Observer family line?
Yeah, he's like...
There's a tree I'd like to see.
You know, there was that theory going around that people are like, Peter's an Observer now. And it's like, no, he's not. We don't know what he is. We haven't made it up yet. But I love the show and I'll catch it every week, but we'll see what happens next week. Okay? That's all I can give you.
Yeah, that's...
They need to add a cynical teenager to the show. Who cares what
Whatever.
Peter is? Who's Peter? I don't even know.
Who cares?
Go, get out of here. There was that line where...
Peter's such a common name.
And you know, they had a couple of throwaway lines or whatever where somebody's talking about love of their life and Olivia's just kind of looking in the distance like, I never have known that. It's been a vacuum in my life. It's almost like somebody's missing.
But there's an echo. An echo of love.
I did like... I don't know why. Just the actor who plays Walter Bishop, when he's like freaking out at the end, like, oh, he's back. You know, I just thought it's funny because it's his son and he's scaring the shit out of him.
Yeah, John Noble. And I've watched that Dark Matter show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really goofy.
Yeah.
The reenactments they do on like green screen sets are hilarious.
I got to check that out. I love John Noble.
But he's great. I mean, his voiceover, it makes it creepier.
You know, we've got Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights an Emmy. We need John Noble to get an Emmy.
Next year. He's got to get it.
And we need
supporting actor.
Gary from Alphas to get an Emmy, too.
Well, that would be tough because they'd be in the same category.
Maybe he's like
Maybe one gets a Golden Globe.
No, one gets a lead actor, one gets a the other
support.
Kind.
But they're both supporting.
Man. Yeah, damn it.
Because it's an ensemble.
Damn it. Well, how about John Noble this year, Gary next year?
There you go.
And yeah, because maybe that'll save...
I know that guy's name, too. I just, the guy who
It'll save Fringe, because if they keep going the way they're going now, it's going to be the last season. I have this feeling. It's an echo. An echo of the past. Just there's just something about it. I don't know. They need to get moving.
I trust the guys. I just want them to find Peter, because I don't want to say, "Where's Peter?" at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Where the hell is he? Oh, wait, he's over there. It's going to be... He's the new observer, Peter is,
oh,
wherever
look,
he appears.
Oh, there's a flash of him, so he earns his paycheck.
No, when he flashed, were you like, oh, shit, he's going to be the new observer. Where does Peter show up in this episode? Let's go and look. Let's go Easter egg it on Google. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah.
Let's do it! All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Okay, news. Here's some special news. We've all played, well, most of us have played on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, and anytime we get on there and have an open mic in the public area, there's always some asshole kid, or there's always a million of them, I should say.
Oh, totally. I've been the victim of that.
Oh, yeah. I remember the one time that... Who was that kid? There has been a couple times. We've talked about it on the show.
Fart.
There's just asshole kids like crazy. They assume they can get online, just a voice anonymously, and act like an asshole.
Right.
So, in Plymouth, England, a British man attacked a teenage boy who had killed his character in a game of Call of Duty Black Ops.
Ah.
Yeah, father of three, Mark Bradford, 46, was awaiting sentencing Friday after he admitted to storming around to the boy's home and grabbing him around the throat after the youngster teased him about winning a Call of Duty Black Ops match. The boy, who has not been named, was playing the popular shooter on his Sony PlayStation on July 1st this year when he began competing with Bradford through the game's online multiplayer mode.
Oh, they're happy.
Prosecutor Gareth Warden said Mr. Bradford was killed during the game, and the boy called him a name.
Okay.
Bradford then left his own apartment and went to the boy's address where he carried out the attack, which
How
left
did
a scratch.
I didn't know where he lived.
The freaking Kojak or something. I don't know.
Whoa.
Bradford's lawyer said he had mental health issues and just lost it after being provoked by the boy's name calling.
That's bananas awesome.
I applaud him. Yes. Strangle the kid, the little shit.
It kind of reminds me of the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back thing where they go around and beat the shit out of the kids that badmouth them.
You know, when I played Call of Duty, some demo or something, first time I ever played it, I was just walking around getting killed repeatedly. I'm like, how the hell do you do this, you know? And you got people in your ears who, like, kids or whatever, and they're like, oh, who's that Jastrow, man? He sucks. He didn't even kill anybody. And they're, like,
freaking
laughing. I'm like, it's the first freaking time I played the game. God, give me a break, little shit. I'm going to find that kid and strangle him.
See, in a way, this guy's a hero to many.
Yes, he is. He's my
hero. Now he can serve the jail time for all of us that want to strangle kids.
Oh, hell no, dude.
All right, an Indiana woman was arrested Wednesday after she left a drugstore with a scarecrow and a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, yeah, that's my kind of evening.
Yeah, and following reports that she had been driving a golf cart erratically around Chesterton, Indiana.
You've got to be joking.
Police responding to the call from a motorist about an intoxicated woman on a golf cart weaving between lanes with no lights on say they found Jacqueline Hamilton, 59, stumbling out of his CVS pharmacy about 7 p.m. Wednesday. Hamilton was holding a bottle of Canadian Mist whiskey. Ooh, that's high shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And a large scarecrow, and told police she was buying Halloween decorations for her grandchildren. She said she planned to return home and drink the whiskey by the fire. Oh, that sounds like a pleasant evening.
Her evening planned out. That's
yeah,
nice.
She has a date with the scarecrow.
Liquid by the fire.
Hey, you know, you don't have to get too close. Officers noticed the smell of alcohol on Hamilton's breath, and the police report said she had difficulty standing up while talking to them. Well, that seems to be a problem.
That's a telltale sign right there.
Yeah.
Wait a second. She can't walk. She can't stand up. Hmm.
And she has a scarecrow. When officers told Hamilton she appeared very intoxicated, she said she only had a few drinks. She later told officers she's had about 10.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
A field sobriety test was not administered because the arresting officer feared she might hurt herself. Poke herself in the eye, trying to touch her nose, stumble into traffic.
Oh, for real, dude! Oh my god!
She was charged with public intoxication, taken to the Porter County Jail in Valparaiso, and the golf cart was returned to her husband.
Oh, well
at least they didn't impound it.
I'm glad he got that back.
Whoa.
Alright, some weeks, you know, I've mentioned this. Sometimes things happen in threes, normally. And this week we have another three of guys that just, for some reason, think the world needs to see their equipment. And not their power tools.
Oh, dear.
A Ridley Park man who was arrested for masturbating on his front porch.
Excuse me?
Yes, he was masturbating on his front porch.
Wrong.
Must have been hard up for excuses when claimed he was just having problems with my pants. Well, everyone has problems with their pants. Cops responded to calls of a man who was indecently exposed to masturbating on his front porch on East Chester Pike around 12:24 p.m. Tuesday.
That's bananas awesome.
The 44-year-old suspect, Leonard Werby, was arrested inside his mother's apartment and was later identified by witnesses.
He's at his mom's place. Aww.
Well, he can't exactly do it in the apartment.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't want to do that at home.
No. So, technically, if he's on her porch, he's not, you know, he doesn't have to worry about it. Just, Mom, stay inside. I'm busy out here.
Don't let that ham fist touch her.
What?
Ham-fist.
In interviews, Werby told investigators that he was just having some problems with his pants.
Yeah, I'm having a slight pants malfunction here. Okay.
For some reason, my hand is stuck in my pants.
I'm not wearing pants.
He was arrested on indecent exposure and related charges.
Very
Continuing
clever.
This theme... in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, a Sand Springs man was arrested early Wednesday morning after police got a call that he was committing a lewd act at a Sand Springs McDonald's.
What's called a male pornographic fantasy?
Putting ketchup on McNuggets? It's terrible.
Never.
Shortly before 1 a.m., Sand Springs police responded to the restaurant where an officer spotted 37-year-old Peter Smith sitting at a table inside the McDonald's and fondling himself.
No pressure.
When the officer went inside, he stated he found Smith with a laptop computer, pornographic website open, and his hands by his crotch area.
That's bananas awesome.
Smith was arrested on complaint of indecent exposure and possession of drug paraphernalia. Now, how can I assume it doesn't say he had it out, so how can you arrest on indecent exposure?
Huh?
I think there's a technicality here.
Yeah, what?
This man needs to get a lawyer. He was just using McDonald's free Wi-Fi on his own computer, you know.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's free, you know. I gotta
maybe he was washing himself, or, you know, maybe he has crabs.
Who's banning the fart?
Who knows? I think this man's innocent.
All right, check you later.
All right, in Bangor, Maine, Bangor police were on the
That's
lookout
where
for
Stephen King lives.
Yeah. Bangor police were on the lookout for a man who was seen Wednesday evening running around naked at the Bangor Municipal Golf Course.
They suck!
The man who fled the golf course shortly before 7 p.m. in a red four-door sedan with Massachusetts plates then was spotted on Vine Street, where he reportedly struck a sign before turning onto 3rd Street. He was last seen speeding away, Bangor Police Sergeant Larry Weber said Wednesday night, citing a police report. According to the report, a witness was able to provide the plate number and appeared the same vehicle had been pulled over by a city police officer about 10 minutes earlier, time the motorist was clothed.
Huh.
I think it's a mystery. Police at 10 p.m. that evening, police had seen neither hide nor hair of the man.
Oh, geez.
God damn, people. Stop it with
the bodies out later on.
Freaking last lines. Ugh.
They love That's being clever.
The worst stinger ever.
This is ridiculous. Really ridiculous.
All right. And that's that. We're going to end them on that trilogy of fondling and related stories.
I love it. I'm a big fan of that.
I'm going to let that one go.
I'm just saying.
Does that mean you're ready to do some DVDs, Bill?
I am. Let's get them done before my throat completely dies.
All right, guys. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs! Yes. All right, Bill. What do we got in the DVDs?
All right. DVD and Blu-ray for Tuesday, October 4th, 2011. Starting off with the Alpocalypse Tour. Weird Al Yankovic Live.
The Alpocalypse. All right.
Yep, he's still going strong. Still making money. God bless him.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, don't be that
mean. Hey, why is she not a fan of Weird Al, I guess?
He did Yoda. It was a great song.
You guys are nasty.
It's not nice.
Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Yeah. Some of my favorite songs of his were always his originals, though. Midnight Star on Weird Al in 3D, one of my favorites. Holy All right. For a while, we haven't been able to get the untitled bootleg cut of Almost Famous on Blu-ray. Well, that has changed. You no longer have to import it from the UK. You can now buy it.
How is it?
What, the have you ever seen it?
No, the bootleg version? No.
It's fantastic. It completely changes the film for the better. It's
really
one of those situations where I believe the studio said, well, it runs a little long, you should cut this, this, and this. I think it puts back about 30 minutes worth of stuff, and it just kind of fleshes it out much better.
So what is it?
A white hole.
I'm a fan of the movie. I like the theatrical version. I'll check it out.
Yeah, you should definitely check out the bootleg cut. I think it was just originally he just called it Untitled, but I don't know. Because honestly, he didn't want to. I think he didn't want to use the term Almost Famous for it, so he had it called Untitled for the longest time.
Oh.
Cameron Crowe, that is.
Yeah, good old Cameron Crowe.
Which I just watched his documentary on Pearl Jam. It was really good for fans of Pearl Jam.
Right.
But for anybody that doesn't like Pearl Jam, they give a whopping shit.
Why? For what possible reason?
For fans, there's like really nothing that you didn't already know. Kind of covers their creation to now. But I'm really looking forward to his We Bought a Zoo. I think that's...
Oh, yeah,
I always
yeah.
like his films.
I've heard
so.
Of that.
All right, moving on. We have Beauty and the Beast on Blu-ray in regular 3D and DVD.
Oh, nice. Is this the Disney or the Ron Perlman
no, this,
show?
This is Ron Perlman in 3D.
Don't let that ham fist touch her.
No, this is the Disney Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Oh, sorry about that. But
A tale as old as time.
A tale as old as time.
Be our guest.
Oh, dude, you gotta love Angela Lansbury.
She's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for real, dude. Oh, my God.
God, that show of hers was on forever, that Murder, She Wrote.
I always wanted the very final episode of Murder, She Wrote, the big reveal. She'd been killing everyone.
Yeah, yeah. She wrote all the murders.
She framed hundreds of people throughout the course of the show. That would have been awesome.
Grimy lady.
All right, moving on. Sorry. We have... Sorry. Got a little phlegm stuck in my throat.
Never.
We have Bored to Death, the complete second season on Blu-ray.
Wrong.
I watch it. I like it. I've watched both seasons of it.
I have yet to watch either season, and I need to.
It's a fun show. Funny show. Funny
right.
show. Very funny.
Next Blu-ray is Cinema Paradiso.
Good movie. Touching movie.
It is.
Good stuff.
That's bananas awesome.
It's bananas awesome. It says that yep. on the box, Bill, I believe.
It is. It says bananas awesome Harry Knowles.
God's sake.
Right, and hey, here we go. Dead Alive on Blu-ray.
Nice. I had no idea. Yep. Sin Gaia.
Sumatran rat monkeys are back.
It's a fun show. Baby Cell went in the park. Little zombie baby in
his
onesie.
Is it the unrated version or is it?
Yeah, it's got to be the unrated, I would think.
Yeah, I would have to assume that if they're going to take the time to put it on Blu-ray. Yeah, it's the unrated version. It says here, I had to look at the back.
Basically screwed me over in my brain.
I might have to pick this up.
I mean,
I think I own two versions of it on DVD.
It's gory and everything, but it's got so much,
heart?
Much character. Yeah, it's yeah. just when you first learned that Peter Jackson was going to do Lord of the Rings, I was like, awesome! The guy who did Dead Alive, I'm all for it. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, I still one of my all time favorite films of his is The Frighteners. Love The Frighteners.
Yes.
Sadly underrated film.
And that's got a director's cut too, does it not?
It does. An excellent director's cut. And I think it just came out on Blu-ray a couple weeks ago. It's been on HD DVD and Laserdisc and DVD, but Blu-ray just came out a couple weeks ago. All right, moving on. Blu-ray, Disney Nature, African Cats, directed by Spike Lee.
You got a joint?
Yeah, bad joke. I am.
Okay.
Moving on, Fast Five.
Oh, well, Fast Five. It's five people who run really fast. They're marathon runners. It's a great movie.
Yep.
Well, one of them's only going to win, though, at the end, Steven.
I'm not even touching it.
But did you see the what it says on the box, what the movie is?
That's bananas awesome.
Harry Knowles said it.
Yep, he said it again. Hey, he needs to stop recycling that.
Well, you know, when he gets one thing, he likes to latch onto it.
But, Bill, you know, we did see Fast Five, and there's an episode of Nora Mulberry where we talk about it, so people can go back and check that out.
Yeah, they'll know what I think about it.
You loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Here's one thing I can say about the Blu-ray. It's going to have an awesome sound mix, man.
It will. It will. And it'll probably look pretty damn good, too.
Yeah. And it's got what The Rock is cooking, I guess. Wait, is that how he says it? You can smell what he's cooking?
Can you smell what he's cooking?
Haku Masente!
Oh, that's what he says. All right, moving on. We have Jackie Brown on Blu-ray.
Ah, yes, Jackie Brown. I loved it. You know, a lot of people didn't like Jackie Brown because it was Quentin Tarantino's follow-up to Pulp Fiction. So people are like, wait, we don't get another Pulp Fiction? No, it's a great movie. Jackie Brown's good. It's good
stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
I like it. What
it's
do you
got
think,
a couple really fantastic performances. I like and it's
AK-47, when you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room, except no substitutes.
God, I love that editing in there. I love it.
It almost sounds like self-editing.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Huh? We have Life is Beautiful on Blu-ray.
Why? For what possible reason?
To make you absolutely, horribly, suicidally depressed for days on end.
Okay.
It's true.
Oh, is Life is Beautiful the one about the guy who's, like, paralyzed?
No, Life is Beautiful is the Italian film starring Roberto Benigni.
Oh, okay, okay. I was thinking of that movie where the guy can't move and he's just based on his memories and thoughts. What was that movie?
Oceans of shit. Diving Bell and a Butterfly?
Yeah, that's it. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is the one with Roberto Benigni, and he's the Jewish waiter, and the him and his son, he's hiding his son in the concentration camp, and playing a game with him the entire time so that the kid doesn't realize the atrocities that's going on around him. Oh.
Very clever.
It will rip your heart out.
That sounds like it.
And then stomp on it.
Does the kid ever notice? Does he go, wait a second?
It's too late. Yeah, it's just, it's, have you seen it?
No.
Oh my gosh. I went with my sister to see it one time when it was played in theaters, and we were not expecting what we got.
We were like, Life is Beautiful. I love this guy in the Pink Panther movie.
Yeah, this guy is hilarious. And
don't let that ham fist touch her.
Yeah, huh? Wow. It's one of those movies where you just, wow.
What the hell are you talking about, girl?
All right, next we have The Lion King on Blu-ray, the Diamond Edition.
What the hell is that thing saying at the beginning of that?
Zahania, Babadichua.
I'm in Transylvania. It's like, huh?
Oh my gosh, Steven, your breathing just there sounded like crickets. I thought you guys were outside for a second.
Bill, we went outside because it's such nice weather.
So cool. Yeah, so you can pick it up in its normal Blu-ray DVD combo, or you can pick it up in its Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD digital copy combo, or you can pick it up in its special edition trilogy gift set combo.
Life is Beautiful in 3D. Oh, wait, with Lion King, never mind.
Nazi atrocities in your face.
Emma has never seen The Lion King. I'm afraid she would get upset at the one part where the mean lion, whatever.
Oh, Scar.
Yeah, remember what happens to the little guy's dad?
Yep. Scar's a prick.
Jeremy Irons.
I think she could... it's tougher with films like this because they are animated and you assume they're tailored to children. It's G-rated. But there's some pretty heavy shit goes down.
Yeah, it does. But the best part about the whole thing, Hakuna Matata, Steven!
Timon and Pumbaa.
Those guys are eating bugs and stuff. That whole sequence is awesome.
I say no worries.
Hell yeah.
All right. Peanuts Deluxe Holiday Collection Ultimate Collector's Edition on Blu-ray. They're starting to get the holiday stuff out.
I'm sure they've
released this last year this time too. But, you know, it's October 4th on Tuesday, and it's time to start pushing it.
Even Emma loves all those.
I love this song, but it just depresses the hell out of me.
Snoopy, that's not funny. Snoopy cracks himself up, man.
He is a funny dog.
Dog, you funny. All right, next Blu-ray, we have Pee Wee Herman Show on Broadway.
Oh, nice.
I missed it when it was on HBO.
It's pretty fun.
It's pretty good.
Good. And why not pick up Pee Wee's Big Adventure on Blu-ray?
Oh, God, I will own that. The Pee Wee's Big Adventure is a great movie.
It is.
As I'm watching the movie, I'm sitting there going, this is a great movie. Tim Burton got this right. Right. I mean, I know he had help with, you know, Pee-wee wrote it with Phil Hartman, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, I miss that guy. But it's such a fantastic movie. I love Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Let's talk about your big butt.
And it's very quotable, too.
You know, I still want to know what was so important with Amazing Larry.
You have something to tell the rest of us, Amazing Larry! I love that.
I would laugh so hard at that part every time I watched it. I just, there's something so funny about putting Amazing before the guy's name.
Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
Genius.
Cracks me up. Love that movie. I remember the first time I saw it, it was on HBO. Probably in like 86. Like a year after it came out, and I was obsessed with it. I was 7 years old, and I thought it was the greatest thing I ever saw.
Did you ever have a dream like that?
And I wanted the pool, that the bathtub that Francis had.
Oh, I know. He's got the cartoon bathtub, like in Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
And, was it Elmer Fudd when he was rich in those episodes? He had the giant bathtub.
Yeah.
And Francis has a swimming pool bathtub.
I was just like, oh, my gosh, those exist.
Francis!
I wanted it so bad. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to find that house.
Well, I like that when it had the doors in it, he came in the pool, you know?
The way the music is in that scene, remember, Francis hides underwater, and then you hear these dun dun, and his feet come into the water one at a time, dun dun. And he starts wrestling with Francis in the water. And I love that Professor Tanaka, giant, you know, Asian guy who's always a bad guy in martial arts movies, but he's Francis's butler. That was great.
All right. And while you're picking up Jackie Brown, pick up Pulp Fiction on Blu-ray, finally.
Oh, never heard of it. What's that?
Some Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, it's like, what do you call that?
I should go back to work.
There's an invention called television, and on this invention, they show shows, right?
Yeah, I love the whole Pulp Fiction. My favorite chapter, I guess, is this the Bonnie situation, mm-hmm. where he's like, God damn, Jimmy! You know what I mean?
Some good coffee!
God damn!
No, not that one. Ah, oh, jeez. I love it. So this is some good coffee.
How good my coffee is. I know how good my coffee is.
The best part, though, is when later on, you know, the wolf, Harvey Keitel, where he takes a drink of the coffee and he turns and goes, mmm. Mmm.
Is this a dead storage on my house?
Bill!
What? They're just quoting the movie.
Oh, my God.
It's not a slur if you're quoting the movie.
I don't know.
Hey, he's white and he could say it. It's so funny. I love that movie. Another one of those movies where it's just, when you saw it, you knew things were going to be different.
I don't watch TV.
All right, moving on. For some reason, the Criterion Collection thought it would be a good idea to release Sallow or the 120 Days of Sodom on Blu-ray. Because everyone wants to see this Pier Paolo Pasolini film in HD. Just really nasty. Nasty, nasty, nasty stuff.
Wow, sounds good.
you've never seen it or heard of it?
Have you?
Mm-mm.
No, sir.
This is like film school shit, man. This it's an Italian film made in the 70s, and it's based on the 120 Days of Sodom that the Marquis de Sade wrote, and it just there's so much just like graphic, nasty sadism and violence and sexual
God
situations.
Damn, Jimmy. This is serious gourmet shit.
You got that right, Jules.
It's just, it's one of these movies that people consider it a masterpiece, but it's just, it's gross. And it can, it's really off-putting. But I think it's, a lot of people are just, you know, it's, I think it was the last film that Pasolini made, because he was murdered shortly before it came out.
You've got to be joking.
So the dude was murdered?
Yeah, he was murdered.
Wow.
But, I mean, he was an incredible filmmaker, but he just kind of a fascist asshole, really.
Why did he get himself murdered?
I don't know. I would like to ask him.
Who's manning the fort?
No, I mean, you would have to ask him, because he was run over several times by his own car.
Oh, crap.
Very clever.
Yeah, I think it was his, some guy, some young kid, murdered him. But it's really strange. He's done a handful of really fantastic films. Moving on, let's see what else we have.
I'll pick that up in the same trip I go to get Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, you'll notice it by the woman completely naked, cowering in a corner with her hands to her face.
You guys are nasty!
It's a really interesting cover. It's just like, ugh.
Huh?
Doesn't sound titillating.
Yes. Titillating.
What?
All right, moving on. We have Scream 4, because everyone wanted more.
Wrong.
Yep. Yeah, I'll pass.
I'm going to... I object, sir. That is not true.
No, not on me, man.
I've seen the three of them. Maybe I've just seen one and two. I just really don't care.
Yeah, I've seen one and two, and I dropped off.
Yeah.
I lost track of them, you know. I'll get back one day, right, Steven? You know, we'll have a scream-a-thon, right?
Yes.
No pressure.
No pressure at all, dude. And the final DVD and Blu-ray I want to bring up is a film called Submarine.
Oh.
And it's important because it's a film written and directed by Richard, and I know I'm going to get his last name wrong, I always do, Richard Ayoade, or something like Ayoade, something. And he, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the IT Crowd. Yes. But he's Moss on the IT Crowd. I got Moss confused there for a second.
I've heard it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, anytime there's a an independent film, first-time filmmaker, this is brilliant.
Oh, my God, it'll change the way we do things.
I can't believe it. I'm never going to see another film again.
So it's about
But it does really sound kind of interesting, kind of a... It's an obvious film school kind of film. It sounds like it pays a lot of homage to like French New Wave. It's a kid coming of age, prone to daydreaming. So you really can't. I don't think you can figure out like what's real, what's not, kind of thing.
That's bananas, awesome.
So it's kind of in this kid's head, I guess. But I haven't seen it. I could be wrong.
I wish you would talk a little bit of sense.
But I've wanted to see it.
Yeah, me too. I like Das Boot and U-571, so I want to check this one out.
Yes. U-571 was great. As long as this movie has Bon Jovi getting hit with a submarine hatch.
Yes, submarine hatch right in the head. Boom.
Best part of the movie. Screw the depth charges in the base.
Fart.
That would be good.
And awesome. That's it.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Oh, hell no, dude.
That's it? That's the end of the DVDs?
That is it.
That's it.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. We're trying to get back into the show, and I think I'm losing my voice too, Steven.
Yeah, I am dying here.
It was all that Terra Nova talk, Bill.
I keep having to mute my microphone to clear my throat, and I think it's making it worse.
Oh. All right, Bill. Well, thank you for the DVDs this week.
Not you.
I want to kiss you all.
No, that's terrible.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Awesome. All right, everyone. That was episode 246 of the Nowhere Mulberry Show. Thank you for tuning in this week, whether it be live at nimchat.com. Hi to everyone there. Or on the podcast feed.
Thank or Memorex.
Yes, or Memorex or a Bassif tape.
I don't know. Bassif.
If you'd like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you can find a link to our forum. Also, send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Or, you know, you could send us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. Also, Facebook, join the Nowhere in Mulberry club, fan club, right, Bill? It's a good time.
Yeah, we passed 100. This week.
Oh, good time. So,
we're now up to 101.
If you want to find out something about Nowhere Mulberry, join the fan club. Little nuggets of information there. Steven, you'll be a member sometime. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I am.
Yeah, if you can't join the forum, join the fan club.
That's right.
Because eventually the forum's going to be gone.
We've got the forum with at least three or four people.
It's the Swiley Pro,
Positively Ken.
Kelly, David Swigert.
Yeah, so guys, the guys that are only on the forum also join the fan club.
Yeah, we really do appreciate the forum stuff, though. That's great.
It's awesome, guys. And
awesome bananas. Are bananas awesome?
Yes, sir. I think that's going to catch on, right?
That's bananas awesome.
Yes, it is.
I like awesome bananas better.
Me too. Bananas are... You know what isn't awesome about bananas? When they start to get the little black spots on them. You pick it up and it's all squishy.
Yeah, but that's when they're good for banana bread.
You know what? Two of my favorite desserts of all time. Banana bread. Other one, banana pudding. Love it. Good stuff.
I think I'm going to go have some bananas after.
I took a risk.
Excuse me, what? All right, everyone, that's our show this evening. I'd like to thank everyone for being here, and I want to thank Emma for listening in, sticking her ear to the headphones to try to hear what's going on. Say hi, Emma.
Hi.
All right, everybody. Heather, say hi. Oh, come on.
No. Shot down.
All right, everyone, we'll see you next time. Laters.
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone.
Very clever.
That's called the male pornographic fantasy.
Okay. You've got to be joking.
Basically screwed me over in my brain.
What the hell are you talking about, girl?
I put a shitload of effort into this.
I'm not wearing pants.
You think you're better than me? You think you're so gangster, you hood?
Don't have enough information to form a hypothesis yet.
Okay, that's not funny.
Yeah, and take some responsibility for something, man. How you gonna help us if everybody keep
Ah!